on the three best friends you never knew you had, running through the most viral stories of the day. The news junkie Sean Wasson with Sabrina and C-Lane.
The news junkie for a Thursday, February 15, 2018. Lots to get to today, from the latest on the Parkland High School shooting to the huge change coming to daylight saving time and more time traveler service on YouTube. Plus your calls, dispatches, emails, texts, and more. Hey there, Sabrina.
Hello.
Hello, C-Lane.
Good morning.
It's an interesting morning, to say the least. And it's one of those mornings where you just kind of throw your hands up and go, oh, what the hell is happening here?
I know. Pretty wild.
And what's next? I just heard Rick Scott say during the press conference about this Parkland High School shooting, which ended up, I think the number's still at 17. Who knows? I mean, 17 kids killed in their school yesterday. And then you got Rick Scott up there at this press conference, and he goes, we're going to do what we can to make sure this never happens again.
Oh, okay. Don't even.
They go, you might do what you can to make sure it doesn't happen today. You'd be lucky if it doesn't happen today. We've got all of these shootings that just pile up, and you want to pretend like there's any control over this. If there was any control over a high school shooting or a school shooting in general ever, there was control yesterday. There was the ability to identify the problematic student, whose name I'm not going to say, for obvious reasons. There were people, two people at the least, who turned this kid into the FBI because he made a comment on a YouTube video and made other threats that he was going to be a school shooter. There were students around this school down in Broward where they said over and over, this kid is a threat. We don't want to be in school with him. He's dangerous. They made the kid come to school without a backpack for quite some time so that he wouldn't be able to hide any guns that everybody knew he had because he openly talked about them when he was threatening people. And then he waltzes back onto the campus. He lights the place up. You got gunshots ringing out everywhere. Kids hiding under desks, still Snapchatting. That's a kind of unbelievable thing to me. But
the even more unbelievable is the people asking if they would call in to their news station while they're hiding under desks.
So mind-blowing.
I think this is one of the more social media-exposed shootings like this.
Oh, yeah.
That I've seen, at least in a while.
Yeah, I posted this yesterday on the website when I saw this happening, and I said, this is really disgusting. There's some kid, he's in the classroom, gunshots are ringing out, and he posts on social media, hey, I'm in this classroom. What do you see when you look at his Twitter replies? I'm from ABC News. I'm from this. Can you do an interview? I'm from CNN. Every major news network reaches out, multiple people from each of them, most of them not even saying, hey, are you okay? Saying, hey, can we get you on the phone? Can we get rights to the photograph you've taken quickly before you die, please, so we can put these on television across all of our channels across the country?
Of course. Watching it this morning, you see with perfect shots right next to all the families and all the parents seeing their kids, hoping their kid pops out of school and wasn't the one that was shot and killed.
Yeah.
And the camera's right there in their face. Like, can we get an interview? What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah. And mind you, they don't need permission for that. It's not a true thing to hide behind that they need permission. They need no permission to share those social media posts on their newscast. They absolutely do not. That is the most clear-cut case of fair use I've ever seen in my entire life. And a newsworthy story.
Oh, yeah.
Don't bother the kid who might be dying in the classroom. It's just unbelievably grotesque behavior by these media outlets. They are like predators going after these people. They go, oh, got one. Got a live one here in the classroom. Let's see if we can get an interview so maybe he can be just loud enough to make some noise on this phone call, and then the shooting will go live on our air, right? I mean, that's gross, but that's what's happening with some of this. They even captured some of the cell phone video. Now, imagine being in this classroom after the anchor plays this. Imagine being in that classroom and your phone is blowing up because all the news networks want that video you got.
I'm able to show you. Maybe we can take a look at that.
Holy.
I'm from ABC News. Can you do an interview? Hey, please, anybody. We need exclusive rights to your photo and video, please.
Oh my God.
Are you listening to me? I'm from CNN.
All right, so
yeah,
you're looking.
That's gross. Oh, that's God. That is just gross, reprehensible behavior. And I understand there's people who work at these outlets, and that's your job, and that's what they tell you to do. But until the spotlight is turned around on that process, it's going to keep happening. These people are in grave danger many times. And the idea to be first and get the photo and get the video and get the interview and the exclusive trumps any kind of human emotion that maybe these kids might be scared out of their mind. And I, again, I don't understand it. It's a younger generational thing where if I were in that classroom, I would be trying to find a way out. I would be trying to stay alive. I would be doing whatever I could. And the posts on social media, you know, it's illuminating to how these kids respond to this stuff. But then again, how do you want them to respond? Everything was there. The kid said, I want to be a school shooter. Everybody knew he was a danger. Everyone knew this was going to happen. Well, might as well Snapchat it now because we tried everything we could to stop this.
And I remember, I was you know, following it yesterday on Reddit Live, and I found it bizarre, too, that the sheriff's Twitter, the official Twitter for the Broward County Sheriff's Department, mm-hmm. had asked that anybody that had social media posts or screenshots to send it over so that they could get more information.
Yeah.
I've never seen a post like that before where they're like, if you've got Twitter or if you got videos, if you got something on Instagram, send it over to us.
I guess it's part of an investigation. I mean, I understand that more than I understand these folks from the news outlets going after a kid who's right next to a pool of blood where his teacher just got shot. And look, this is not going to be a Thursday where it's all misery and stuff, but we got to be real about this. 17 kids were shot and killed in a damn high school classroom. And I know a lot of you are parents out there. And everything just descends into an argument about the NRA and really simplistic things. But there is a problem here. And if you want to just leave it alone, you want to pretend like Rick Scott, hey, we're going to make sure this never happens again. You know, that's just not going to be good for this country.
We're a long way from the thought of something like this never happening again.
God, what was the number we saw? 14 shootings at schools this year, 5 intentional orchestrated shootings, I believe, so far. This one up in the top 10 in terms of the death count of these kids.
It's crazy.
And teachers in many cases.
Yeah, it was 3 to 4 teachers among the 17 dead.
Who jumped in front of gunfire to protect their students. The same teachers who were now arguing and squabbling should they get a pay raise, right? They're in the classroom not only dealing with that stuff, they're jumping in front of bullets to protect the kids that are in those classes. I don't know. What do? You know, you just look at this and you look at the coverage of it is a mess and the reaction to it is a mess. And nothing is more odd than just the fact that everybody knew this. I got audio of one of the guys who was talking to media after, you know, after this shooting had taken place. And he basically said, look, this kid had problems. We all knew it. We knew that there was something going wrong here. And he highlighted everything that was happening with this kid. Everybody saw it, but nobody really did anything. Hang on, here's the audio. It's not the best, but let's see if we can hear this.
He always had guns on him and stuff like that, so it was, huh? I'm with Bruno. He was a kid that got out of school. He was a little bit of a troubled kid, but everyone thought, you know, he always had jokes on the guy. It was a lot of, like, crazy stuff that he did. Just not right for school. He got kicked out of school multiple times for this kind of stuff.
Was he known to carry guns? Or
he carried multiple guns. He showed me his guns. I was kicked out of school myself, and I saw what guns he had. He showed me personally. And not a lot of times the kids wouldn't pick on him because that kind of took what they knew what could go on. They were scared at the time.
So what, did he come on the campus?
I guess so. That's what the word is. My mother just called me a few seconds ago and told me that when Nicholas Cruz.
So the other details, he had a gas mask on.
Oh, yeah, there was a fire drill earlier in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and the students were confused because the fire alarm goes off again.
Yep.
He pulls it and is just making his way through, and on top of it, hides with the other students as they're piling out so he can escape and shoot 3 more people outside.
And you know what it brings to mind immediately is the nearly tragic incident that we had right here at UCF where somebody was going to do the same damn thing, pull the fire alarm, shoot up the school. Why is the question, and there's a million different reasons, and so many things to be looked into. And the parents, in a lot of these cases, what's happening when your kid has an arsenal? What's happening when this kind of ideology is pumped through his head, and you don't see that coming? And this kid called his dad afterwards. He snuck out with some of the other students leaving the campus after this. He made it a little ways away. Calls his dad, goes, I think I did something stupid. And his dad, thankfully, called police. They rounded him up and they got him. But, God, it's a frustration. I know they're doing a press conference right now. The sheriff is talking down there. And the president is supposed to speak on this soon. Again, there's a lot of other stuff going on, so it's not going to be doom and gloom all day. Let's see what the sheriff is saying real quick. Just peek in on this.
Please don't remain silent. Please let us know about it.
Can you explain why he was expelled or rejected from the Rochester school? People got his problem all the way back to middle school. He had an extensive disciplinary record. Was he on, or maybe Mr. Rutsey, was he on the school district's radar in some sense?
Was he on the school district's radar?
For years already, prior to his expulsion from the high school.
What's going on?
They're bringing up the school superintendent to answer the question if he was on the school's radar.
Man, it's crazy. I've been to this school.
You know, as a school district, we have to protect the privacy of our students. So I can't go into much detail at all about the student's record and personal information. I will tell you that it was a former student at Stoneman Douglas. Because of issues that arose here, he was transferred to another school within the county.
Was it a troubled school? What type of school was it?
Again, I'm not privileged to provide that information at the moment.
Hey, didn't he lose that privilege
student,
when he killed 17 kids?
Providing supports for and recognize that there certainly were challenges there. The specifics I can't get into. As far as the student coming on campus, this particular individual came on the campus at the time of dismissal, and that is a fairly open time for the campus, and he entered the facility at that moment. So that's
all right. He's not saying anything. I hate when they hide behind them. This is a student, so we can't tell you. Screw that. The kid shot up a bunch of people.
Also, isn't he no longer a student?
No, yeah, you're right. He's not anymore.
He wasn't currently enrolled at the school.
I'm okay afterwards with them just divulging whatever they want. Though I think that's another problem that feeds into this machine of stupidity when their name gets out everywhere, and then all of a sudden somebody else goes, you know, I'm a nobody right now, but I can get my hands on a gun. So I could be a somebody really quickly if I wanted to. The president is going to address this whole thing and lots of other stuff, as I said, to talk about. So we'll get into all sorts of conversations, because obviously that's unavoidable, the biggest thing on everybody's mind today. And just a country of people waking up going, what? And trying to rub the sleep out of your eyes. What happened here? And there's a lot of conversations that need to be had. And I hope everybody can come together. Though I don't have the greatest expectations of how that will play out, I hope everybody would come together and try to do something about this whole issue that continues to happen over and over and over in this country. Your dispatches, more stories, other things happening in the world, and the president's comments when he hits the mic. When we come back, it's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Occupying the space between high society and prison tattoos. This is the News Junkie.
Well, it's obviously the big story of the week now. And everybody has some sort of connection to what's happening. So many people who say, look, I know somebody who went to this school in Parkland when this whole thing went down. I know somebody who lives down there. Excuse me. You were saying you went, this was like a rival school for you, Sabrina.
Oh, yeah. I knew a bunch of people that went there. And Stoneman Douglas is right by my school, Chaminade. And that was like our basketball rivalry.
It's a big school. It's like a large campus that they've been showing.
I don't know that they were direct rivals of us in football, because I think that had been too far away. But I do remember being in marching band competitions with Stoneman Douglas.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you're familiar with the name,
mm-hmm,
too?
Yeah.
Now, in the state of Florida, if you've gone to school the last couple of decades, you're probably going to have some sort of attachment to this. The president going to speak in just a moment here. We'll take that when he goes up. They say he's going to call for, quote, a plan that works.
What?
after the school massacre. I don't know what that is. Very generic so far. Maybe there'll be some more details in what he says when he comes to the microphone. I think the guy could surprise you on some stuff like this, because for all the things and follies that people have with President Trump, he's as unpredictable as can be. And I can see him all of a sudden coming out and switching gears and going after these weapons that you find all over the place that are in the hands of people who are clearly mentally ill. And I guess the biggest frustration with this that I was talking about is just everything was there. The FBI was told. The local police knew. Everybody was aware that this kid, if anybody, was going to be the school shooter. They wouldn't let him have a backpack at the school. And then still he's able to mosey on the campus. And he would brag about knowing the layout of the school so well that he could just really do some damage. And that right there, you had it all. You know, law enforcement knew. The details were out there. This wasn't some hidden thing. Every once in a while, you'll find some kid with a real mental issue and then no real trail. Like Adam Lanza is a good example. And that terrible story that happened at Sandy Hook. And you didn't have a whole bunch of information leading up to this that would suggest it was going to happen. You did in this case. All right, here's the president talking about the school shooting.
My fellow Americans, today I speak to a nation in grief. Yesterday, a school filled with innocent children and caring teachers became the scene of terrible violence, hatred, and evil. Around 2:30 yesterday afternoon, police responded to reports of gunfire at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, a great and safe community. There, a shooter, who is now in custody, opened fire on defenseless students and teachers. He murdered 17 people and badly wounded at least 14 others. Our entire nation, with one heavy heart, is praying for the victims and their families. To every parent, teacher, and child who is hurting so badly, we are here for you, whatever you need, whatever we can do to ease your pain. We are all joined together as one American family, and your suffering is our burden also. No child, no teacher should ever be in danger in an American school. No parent should ever have to fear for their sons and daughters when they kiss them goodbye in the morning. Each person who was stolen from us yesterday had a full life ahead of them, a life filled with wondrous beauty and unlimited potential and promise. Each one had dreams to pursue, love to give, and talents to share with the world. And each one had a family to whom they meant everything in the world. Today we mourn for all of those who lost their lives. We comfort the grieving and the wounded. And we hurt for the entire community of Parkland, Florida, that is now in shock and pain and searching for answers. To law enforcement, first responders, and teachers who responded so bravely in the face of danger, we thank you for your courage. Soon after the shooter, I spoke with Governor Scott to convey our deepest sympathies to the people of Florida and our determination to assist in any way that we can. I also spoke with Florida Attorney General Pam Bondi and Broward County Sheriff Scott Israel. I'm making plans to visit Parkland, to meet with families and local officials, and to continue coordinating the federal response. In these moments of heartache and darkness, we hold on to God's word in Scripture. I have heard your prayer and senior tears, I will heal you. We trust in that promise, and we hold fast to our fellow Americans in their time of sorrow. I want to speak now directly to America's children, especially those who feel lost, alone, confused, or even scared. I want you to know that you are never alone and you never will be. You have people who care about you, who love you, and who will do anything at all to protect you. If you need help, turn to a teacher, a family member, a local police officer, or a faith leader. Answer hate with love. Answer cruelty with kindness. We must also work together to create a culture in our country that embraces the dignity of life, that creates deep and meaningful human connections, and that turns classmates and colleagues into friends and neighbors. Our administration is working closely with local authorities to investigate the shooting and learn everything we can. We are committed to working with state and local leaders to help secure our schools and tackle the difficult issue of mental health. Later this month, I will be meeting with the nation's governors and attorney generals. We're making our schools and our children safer will be our top priority. It is not enough to simply take actions that make us feel like we are making a difference. We must actually make that difference. In times of tragedy, the bonds that sustain us are those of family, faith, community, and country. These bonds are stronger than the forces of hatred and evil. And these bonds grow even stronger in the hours of our greatest need. And so always, but especially today, let us hold our loved ones close. Let us pray for healing and for peace. And let us come together as one nation to wipe away the tears and strive for a much better tomorrow. Thank you, and God bless you all.
All right, there's the president talking about the shooting at this Parkland High School yesterday, 17 kids dead. And, you know, I actually ran into somebody last night, and they say, wait, what happened? There's another school shooting? And I said, man, it says something that sometimes that doesn't even penetrate through to people. It's just another thing, another bad thing that's happening in a cycle of bad things. So let's see where all this goes. There's a lot of details and updates to many of the different angles of this, and those will be peppered in throughout the show. But as I said, other stories to talk about, and we'll start that when we come back. Stay put. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
It's almost like being in the studio with us. Almost.
Hope you're not allergic to awesome. Or bees. Especially bees. Facebook.com/RealRadio1041. Brought to you by Seacoast Bank. See why local is better by visiting SeacoastBank.com. Better by all accounts. Radio. The game of magnets. Taking over the world one terrible person at a time. This is the News Junkie.
I like that you
tips at thenewsjunkie.com. And with the school shooting this week, obviously, every other school is going, oh, man, are we ready?
Yeah.
If something like this happens, are we prepared? And you bet your ass parents are on the phones. They're dialing up. They're saying, what are your security measures? So what happened at that Parkland High School doesn't happen where I am.
I can't remember which ones went on when I was in grade school because I don't remember any specific response. I remember them offering a talk after 9/11, the morning after that.
Well, probably had Columbine too while you were in school.
Yeah, but I don't remember if there was any specific reaction.
Somebody sent me an email, Sabrina. I just forwarded this over to your Gmail. If we could play this is just an average. This person's in Seminole County. But this is an average of what these schools are trying to get out to every parent in the wake of what happened here with this school shooting. Let me know if you have that. You got it?
Hello, Seminole County families. This is Superintendent Walt Griffin. In the wake of yesterday's senseless tragedy in South Florida, I want to ensure you that the number one priority of Seminole County Public Schools remains to create a safe learning environment for all of our students, faculty, and staff. Unfortunately, mass shootings involving public venues have become a sad reality and an all-too-frequent occurrence for our nation to tolerate.
Jeez.
To that end, school districts, including our own, continue to prepare for the worst by doing code red drills at all of our schools multiple times each school year. I value the close working relationship we have with our sheriff's department and local police agencies. Additionally, I want to thank our school board for supporting and funding dedicated school resource officers at all of our schools district-wide, for making a panic button app available to all of our faculty and staff.
Really?
And we continue to encourage all of our students to follow the mantra that if they see something, to say something.
All right, there you go. I mean, that's going out of every school you could think of in the state of Florida and beyond as parents start scrambling. That's sent, of course, after the shooting there in Parkland. And parents are going, what's happening? You know, does my school have a school resource officer? What can I do to make sure that my child is safe while at school? I didn't know that teachers had a panic app or something they just mentioned there. I didn't know that was a thing that they were doing.
Yeah, I had no idea either, but I guess this is the time that we live in.
Yeah. Well, they also mentioned the code red drills. They did those at that school. They did those at this school. So they had everything right there. They had the awareness of what to do in one of these situations. Of course, I guess a lot of that kind of goes out the window when shots are fired.
Well, the code red drills are designed to minimize loss of life. But when the thing happened, it was dismissal time. It was not code red drill time. It was everybody leave school at once. And
yeah, fire alarm is going off.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it kind of throws some of that preparation, I guess, out the window. Let's talk to Iggy. Go ahead, Iggy.
Hey, good afternoon. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. Craziness, of course, once again, 18 times in this country, and it's just very sad, very sickening.
Mm-hmm.
My thoughts go out to everybody, parents and people who died and whatnot.
Sure.
What's going on in this country, okay? We keep hearing from the president. We keep hearing from law enforcement. We keep hearing from our senators and government. You know, our kids are safe. We're doing everything we can to keep them safe. We are mourning for them. We have these code red drills. But once, if you look at it basically, these kids are not safe.
Mm-hmm.
My two suggestions, and I'm sure they've been suggested many times in the past, are number one, there is no place for military or assault weapons on the face of this planet
mm-hmm.
other than military use. Okay? The second thing is the federal laws here for background checks. Okay? When you go to apply, I don't know if anybody's ever gone to apply for a gun when they do a federal background check. You're a check for criminal crimes. You're a check for violent crimes. If you've been ever convicted of a crime, a violent crime, they need to change their protocol and criteria to include their mental illness history, the hell with the privacy laws. That stuff needs to be brought to attention to when you go to purchase a gun, that if you're on any kind of medications or any kind of PTS or any kind of stress-related illnesses or mental illnesses, that be brought into play. And I think that on the background checks, also they need to also incorporate their social media contacts over, say, the past 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, what happens, Iggy, is it gets so convoluted and tough. When you talk about people with mental illness, that's about a sixth of the country that's mm-hmm. on some sort of medication for some sort of mental issue. That might be severe, that might be not very severe at all, but that's a big chunk of people, and it mm-hmm. gets complicated.
But that being said, why is it that the FBI, I mean, that's the news that came out. The FBI was told about this kid twice, and this happened. Like, yeah. Was it that they, and I can't confirm it, the FBI didn't mention this to the school, right?
I have no idea what the conversations were there. I saw an actual screenshot. BuzzFeed had a story with a screenshot from some guy who had a comment from this person who ended up being the school shooter, and they said, hey, I'm going to be a school shooter. I don't know if that was the exact sentence, but my job is going to be a school shooter.
Mm.
And they screenshot it, sent it over to FBI.gov, and that you can see that he sent this. And another person, according to the FBI, sent something in too. So everything was there.
We've heard that before. We heard that with the Pulse shooter.
Mm-hmm.
And it was flagged by the FBI.
Right, on the radar, and then nothing happened.
Another mass shooter. I remember hearing that. I don't think it was the Las Vegas guy, but it's not the first time we heard the FBI was warned of this, and then it happened.
Yeah, I don't know the volume of stuff like that they get. Maybe it gets caught up in that, or good God, you know, I don't know. I know there's a lot of dispatches that want to get to the shooting this week and talk about that stuff. We'll do that in just a second. Just to swerve you in another direction for a moment here. Do you remember your very best friend growing up, Sabrina?
Yes, I do.
And what was that person's name?
Now, are we talking about my very first friend or, you know, the lengthiest?
Think about, like, from kindergarten to when you graduated high school, whichever one in there was your best friend.
Kindergarten to freshman year of high school, I would say. Jesse.
Yep. And do you still talk to Jesse?
Every birthday of ours.
Really?
Yep. We have kept the tradition of both of us sending each other happy birthday texts and have been doing that since text messages became a thing.
C-Lane, how about you? Do you remember your best friend?
I had a handful of them.
You had so many that you can't single it down to the top dog? There's got to be a BFF.
I can't single it down to one person.
Well, there's always a best friend, is there not? Or you're just saying you call them all your best friend?
But kind of like that.
Nobody
yeah.
in general is the top of the pack.
I mean, there was one all through like high school. My best friend Chris.
All right, and how long did you know Chris for?
Through middle school and high school.
All right, so that's Chris is top of the pack. He's your best friend.
Oh no.
Well,
two Chris's best friends for life
at schools, at least in the New York area, and there's some in London that have done this too. They're starting to ban best friends.
What do you mean?
Which is such a weird thing. And I don't know, is it supposed to make it so everybody's included or what? CBS New York says this. Growing up, your best friend is the person who's always there for you and the one you share all your secrets and exploits with. But now there's a growing movement to ban best friends.
No!
Yes, it's happening. They want to ban them. Here's more from CBS New York.
Best friend.
Say it up. There's been a movement in some American schools and European schools to ban the phrase best friend.
My daughter's 13 years old. She has best friends. They change by the day the same way she changes her socks.
Rumored to have first started in Prince George's South London school. This push to break up best
friends. What did that guy say?
He had a mouthful of marshmallows before he did the interview. He's like, come here, let's know, best friends.
I heard socks.
It's catching on, says clinical psychologist Dr. Barbara Greenberg.
The idea of banning the phrase best friends is a very intriguing social experiment.
And while it may be raising some eyebrows.
That's really disheartening. I mean, I wouldn't have been very happy in elementary school because that's all I had.
Greenberg, who works with children and adolescents, says there's some good rationale behind it.
I see kids coming all week long who are feeling dreadful because they are excluded and because they are either nobody's best friend or because their best friend has moved on.
All right. So then you say no saying best friends. And what does that solve? The kids are still going to have the friends to hang out with. And if the person feels excluded because they don't have any friends, that they're still not going to have any friends.
Yeah.
So I don't know if this solves anything.
I think it's I could understand that it hurts your feelings to not have a best friend, but to not have any friends either doesn't really help with that rule.
Zero friends is the thing I think that's really the problem.
Like, if you have one friend, then you can call them your best friend, and there you go. Problem solved.
Maybe they need little kid mixers. And
that'd be good.
That way, some of these kids who are on the outskirts...
Hey, how's it going? Do you come around here after?
Right. Just like a speed dating thing for other little kids, and then you meet them, and then you get yourself a best friend. That sounds like a lot better idea than just banning the idea of a best friend in particular.
When you say things like they need little kid mixers, in my head I go, no, they don't. Little kids don't need to be drinking.
Yeah, drinking might make it more exciting.
Yeah, oh my God, tiny little apple martinis. How like, cute with that.
Well, Mike's hard lemonade in their hands, and they're making friends real quick.
You gotta be 17 to drink those.
Everything gets fixed. Let's get to your dispatches. I know the shooting.
Nice, man.
How dare you do that?
By the way, those are just tuning in. He's talking about his son.
My son may have had one Mike's Hard Lemonade at one point in time, and he's getting punished
great.
For it.
Now, yeah, punish him by telling all his friends on the radio.
Damn it. That's going to backfire, isn't it?
Yeah.
And they listened, too. He told me when he came down this time, he's like, oh, a couple of my friends were talking about listening to the show.
Oh, good.
Like, oh, here it is. Let's go to Mumbles with a dispatch.
Oh, man. You know, thanking your government and everything giving in front of the camera and saying we have to get down to some real conversation. When has the real conversation ever taken place?
Probably never.
What are we waiting for? Oh, it's such a tired old story. You can layer them over each other and play them on the air, and the cadence of these officials have the same thing to say.
Man, that is absolutely true. You could play one of these speeches from a Rick Scott or from a Pam Bondi or from anybody, and you would not know necessarily which incident they were talking about.
When the president first spoke about the Stoneman Douglas shooting, there was a moment that I caught myself guessing the next word.
Right. Yeah. When you're sitting there, you're like, there is a formula to all of this, and they just say the same thing over and over. And what changes? Like Rick Scott going, we're going to make sure this never happens again.
Yeah, that's a change.
You're not going to, because right now nothing has happened.
When he made a comment like, families left, and I went in my head searching for answers.
Uh-huh.
I nailed it.
You could write one of these.
We got to get down to some real conversation about this. Well, Governor Scott, you're almost out the door. What have you been doing since Columbine? That's only 20 years.
God,
have anything in place?
Is it?
Keep our schools safe. Militia, baby. Neighborhood militia. It's what we need.
Everybody's got an
our
idea.
Children.
Yeah, there's the comment they're showing over and over on TV. I'm going to be a professional school shooter under his name. It wasn't hiding behind anything. Under his name on YouTube.
That's and crazy.
Still not able to figure that one out. Here's Bone In with the dispatch.
Something's got to be done about this. I have a 14-year-old daughter, freshman at Poplar High School, and they've already had two lockdowns this year already.
This year.
Any parent that has a kid in school has got to be scared every single day, it seems.
I think.
That just really sucks.
Yep.
I'm in for the National Guard being posted at all schools.
And you always think about, just because this is human reaction, the parents who start getting those calls, the parents who don't maybe get the calls, and a kid goes to that school and the story pops up and you go, damn it, you know, I thought it wouldn't be their school. And then it just, this whole thing hits you. It's like, wow, it's a very real moment that people were struggling with in the wake of this shooting and all the rest. And what happens now is the biggest question out there. Over to, let's see, Travis.
Good morning, news junkies. So that school shooting, horrific, horrible, you know, all the terrible bad things we can say about it each time. And it honestly scares me to death because my mother is a teacher.
Damn.
And, I mean, God, makes me nervous every single day she goes to work now. But, yeah, so, you know, we don't know what the problem, don't know what the answer is, but we got to start figuring something out here.
Yeah, I think so. And I think people are starting to come on board there, though I fear it'll be just like everything else. We go, holy cow, and then nothing. Oh my God, this is so tragic, and then nothing. And not something that is going to take everybody's guns away, but just something sensible that fixes the issue that is happening over and over and over again. Back in a moment, it's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Talking on the radio, not your thing.
You can do this, you can do this, you can do this.
There's an easier way. It's called texting. 77031. Real Mobile. It's real easy. Real Mobile is powered by David Moss Chevrolet.
From
Real Radio. Real Radio. 104.1.
The biggest stories of the day in all their glory and insanity. You're listening to the News Junkie.
You know what? I know a good place to start. Sabrina, do you know the name Aaron Feist?
Aaron Feist.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm getting the feeling.
It's okay if you don't.
I'm getting the feeling inside me, Sean, that I know the name, but I don't exactly know the face.
Celia, do you know the name Aaron Feist?
I do not.
All right. Everybody needs to know the name Aaron Feist, and that's why it's a good place to start. Of all the sad stories coming out of the school shooting, I mean, this is one that people need to know.
Right.
And, of course, you had this shooter going around the Parkland High School, firing on everybody. He knew the layout of the school as well as anybody. He had told people what he was going to do beforehand and then did it and pulled the fire alarm. All this stuff was happening. And you've seen, have you seen any of the videos, actually?
Of Aaron Feist?
No. Just of the shooting in general, really.
I haven't. Just God. Audio. That we heard earlier.
Probably better not to, really, but you get the idea of the chaos that would be going on. So here's Aaron Feist, a name everyone should know. He was a football coach, and I say was because unfortunately he died in the shooting there this week. But the coach has been identified as Aaron Feist, and he acted as a human shield to protect some of the students who were nearby. As crews opened fire, this is the shooter, with an AR-15, Coach Feist jumped in front of the bullets. One of the fathers whose son is on the football team shared the story with other parents. The coach was also shot. He got shot by jumping on the guy, is wow. What I heard. And this is a name that needs to be known far more, far wider, and respected much more than this shooter's name. When you hear it and you go, God, like, I almost didn't want to say his last name moments ago. I know Aaron personally, says the Broward sheriff. I coached with him. My two boys played for him. I don't know when Aaron's funeral is. I don't know how many adults are going to go, but you'll get 2,000 kids there. The kids in this community loved him. They adored him. He was one of the greatest people I knew. He was a phenomenal man. I don't know the specifics yet, but I can tell you what. When Aaron Feist died, when he was killed tragically, inhumanely, he did it protecting others. You can guarantee that because that's who Aaron Feist was. And there's a name from this horrific, tragic incident that everybody should know.
It's giving me the chills.
Aaron Feist, the coach that stepped up and tried to help these kids out, kids who were absolutely helpless in the face of the gunfire coming from this AR-15 headed methodically, room by room, through this high school. And I wish that stories like that were circulated more than the rest of these. But I do want to hit on this a little bit more. And Celia, can you pull up the post, actually, on thenewsjunkie.com from where I grabbed some of the tweets from reporters who were actually tweeting at kids stuck in the school during the school shooting? Because this behavior needs to be called out. And I want to highlight exactly what these people were doing. It's disgusting, it's gross, and it's unnecessary in so many ways. So it started with, do you have the account of the kid who did the tweet? A couple of photos from inside the classroom.
Yeah, my school's being shot up and I'm locked inside. I'm blanking scared right now.
All right, that's the first tweet. And it's just a photograph of the classroom from the perspective of this kid is probably on the ground, right?
Yeah.
And the replies to that were very quick, and it was a lot of reporters. And what's the first response?
The one girl's concerned she's still in her seat, blah, blah, blah.
There's one that I posted on there that was one of the reporters saying, look, hey, we want to get an interview. We want to get the photo rights.
The same person had said, still locked in. I checked the local news, and there was 20 victims. Long live Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High. And then the reply, which I just clicked away from, I'm with WPBF 25 News. Can we and ABC News have you permission, which she spelled wrong, to use across our platform /partners? Are you able to do a phone interview?
No, I'm a little busy right now.
My God, it's immediate. When you're tweeting that out, do you think, is it going through their heads like, I'm going to send this out? Or is it the one person that starts and like, well, they did it, so yeah, all these affiliates are
going
to do it.
I mean, that's the whole thing. And his friends started going, hey, what the hell are you animals doing? You digital vultures. You're just waiting for this kid to die or going, maybe we can get the interview with him while the shooter enters that classroom. You want an interview, you want rights to the photos and rights to the videos. First thing they want to mention here is they don't need the rights to the photos in the video. They don't. It's called fair use. It's an active news story. They 100% will be able to put that photograph up on the television across all of their stations, and there would be no problem whatsoever with doing that. The thing that they really, truly want most times is to establish communication with this person in harm's way and get them on the phone and get an interview, because they're not scared to do that. And nobody calls them out on it. They got cameras shoved in everybody's face. They are outside right this very moment, the homes of people who lost kids in this school shooting. And there they are. You know, can we get a comment? Can we get, like, just monsters that some of these people are. That's not behavior that is becoming of anybody in the media industry. And it makes everybody look bad. The whole thing that stuck with news media for so long is if it bleeds, it leads. And everybody played right into that by doing it. It was started in Miami and then spread from there. And maybe some of these reporters are the same ones just shoving microphones and crying ladies' faces and just reaching out. Hey, kid, I know you're in the classroom and you're getting shot at, but can you do an interview right now?
Hey, yeah, you just got out and you're seeing your mom and dad for the first time since, I don't know, seeing your life flash before your eyes. Mind if we get an interview real quick?
Some of these kids, you're right to say that, Sabrina, haven't even had the moment to call their parents and go, hey, mom, I'm okay. No, come over here. We want to talk to you real quick for CNN. You're going to be on TV, kid. You're going to be a star. We're going to make you into a star. So the media needs to be called out for this.
Oh, my God, this footage is so bad.
What happens when one of those kids dies on TV?
Do they high-five each other?
I don't know. I think that's when they look at each other and it sinks in. Then
what do we do?
What did we just do? We just broadcast a possible murder of a child.
What did we do here? And it's going to take that tragic thing. And I know there are many other things to worry about, but this is a serious issue. The media just goes out there and hounds these families. They go out there and they go after everybody that they possibly can, besides the stories that really do matter. The stories like Aaron Feist. Tell that story a hell of a lot more when you're around with your friends this weekend. And you're sitting there and you're going, hey, you hear about this terrible kid? Stop mentioning the shooter's name all the time. Stop mentioning all of those terrible, terrible things. Mention the story of somebody who stood up, who did the right thing, and who tried to protect the kids that were in his classroom. And that is Aaron Feist. That guy's absolutely amazing. So I wanted to get his name out there a little bit so people were aware of him. There's a lot of different press conferences going on and people blabbing all over the place about what's happening with this school shooting. But I want to hear what you have to say, so let's get to that. Here's a Tater Boy with a dispatch.
What up, News Junkie and crew? Just checking in on a sad, sad Thursday. Sent a dispatch in yesterday when I found out about this, but, you know, I went to that school. I lost 11 friends in the 4 years that I was there.
Damn.
They said that school was kind of cursed. I mean, people were dying left and right when I was in school. It was overdoses or killed by DUIs, suicide. Lost 6 people in one accident on Locks Road. Sean, I'm sure you know where that is.
I don't.
It's just a terrible tragedy. Maybe this school is cursed. Everybody have a good day. Keep your thoughts and prayers for the families. Yeah. Love y'all.
Peace out. One of the other things you'll hear mentioned over and over is Parkland was just named, I think the safest place in Florida.
Really?
Yeah, because it's a city with a really low crime rate and they don't have a lot of problems, but that just goes to show you. You know, it can happen at any time. I've said this so many times, but it really is one of those kind of earth-shaking things to consider. You're never really safe. You just rely on the people around you not to do unbelievably effed up things. And You like to think that you've got this safety, which is mostly just an illusion, but you rely every day driving to work that some lunatic's not going to sideswipe you and knock you off the road, that somebody, when you drop your kid off at school, isn't going to go in there and do what this kid did. And the biggest question ever is, how do we stop that?
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not going to pretend to know either.
It's the same question. How many times are we going to have this conversation?
Yeah.
Just when, and of course, the politicians, there was no time arguing about it.
Oh, yeah. It turned it into like a fight between two political parties instead of, hey, there's a real true core story here.
And I mean, I forget which rep it was, but going along the lines of, you know, what if we could have passed a law that stopped this?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a fan of Marco Rubio, but when he commented on it, it made sense. Like, can we get the details and see what happened before we say, right, like, we could have passed the law that could have stopped this?
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. I get the passion for it. I think there definitely needs to be some change, but damn, we don't even have like a month or two in between before something else happens.
Yeah.
Obviously, action needs to happen soon.
You could see that people start responding with the here's how you fix it stuff before sometimes the shots are done being fired. And I think that is a great frustration for quite a few people. Here's Nitty Knack with a dispatch.
Hi, News Junkies. Just chiming in about the Parkland High School incident. I think two things need to be done. One is awareness, because it seems to be the same type of mold of individual who's doing this, the quiet loner kid, juvenile delinquent type who has trouble at home and what have you.
Sure.
And also there needs to be a greater deterrence, I believe, and they need to quit being sensationalized. And basically everyone that was
this, I get the anger, sir. You want them to beat the S out of them. You're not the only one. There is a young kid who posted a YouTube video. He was in the school and he didn't even get a lot of views out of this. I think there's like maybe a couple hundred views right now. And he just records his thoughts, and he is right there with you.
Hey, guys, what's up? Juliano's Florida Fishing. And I have a very sad story. Today, and as you guys see, they're shooting on TV. And I was at the school. I go to Marjorie Stoneman Douglas.
Damn.
And one of my friends is currently at the hospital because he got shot, and I'm praying for him and all the other people that got shot in this shooting. And it was probably one of the saddest things that I've ever been in, and I never expected it out of my entire life that I would be in a school shooting, and I am extremely sad,
this poor kid,
right now. And apologize for not posting some stuff in a while, but I got something now, and that's one of the teachers that I knew.
Yeah, he's looking at the footage on TV.
That's so sad.
There's a dead teacher on the ground, and he's going, that's one of the teachers I knew.
It's just insane.
That sucks.
It's insane. I'll never forget the day after they stopped the potential shooter at UCF,
mm-hmm,
and how, I mean, just walking around campus, I was still going to school there, and it was quiet, and you could see it on everybody's faces. How different it could have been.
Yeah. I mean, imagine how you would have been feeling right now.
These poor kids, man.
Yeah.
They're like, they have so much of their life to go, and they have to experience this and see that and see their friends dying next to them. It's crazy.
Well, you listen to this kid that was just playing.
Yeah.
And it hits you that he is a kid.
Yeah. And it's weird how, like, unemotional he sounded. It was almost
he's processing this.
Of course, no, that's what I'm saying.
He doesn't know what to do. Later in it, he goes, death penalty. This kid needs to get the death penalty. And even that, he doesn't know what he's doing right now. He's just had to digest an incredibly grown up thing for such a kid. And even adults aren't ready to deal with that kind of stuff. Back in just a moment, it's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Tackling sensitive subjects with unparalleled irreverence. You're listening to the News Junkie.
I'm in love with love and the idea of something binding us together. You know that love is strong enough. And I've seen times
and tales about my God. This is the tidbit that I think gets me the most about the whole Parkland High School shooting. And I have to get this out there. This is the tidbit that really gets me the most. If you're in your car, double check your seatbelt just in case you react to this by rolling out the door and onto the asphalt. If you're at work, maybe get the duct tape and just do a makeshift little seatbelt to keep you in place. Because we already know that multiple people alerted the FBI, right? The Federal Bureau of Investigation, the highest on high when it comes to something like this. Hey, I'm going to tell somebody. They say, see something, say something. I'm saying something here. and you send this information over and you go, look, here's somebody online who commented they're going to be a professional school shooter. Not one person, but at least two people did exactly that and pointed the FBI to the kid that ended up killing 17 students this week. And the FBI has responded. They responded to this because it makes them look bad. Let's be honest. C-Lane, this does not make them look good.
No, and there's definitely... I almost feel sorry for the person who has to be the person behind the microphone that does have to respond on behalf of the FBI who dropped the ball on this one.
Because there's so much that has been done here that is unfixable and families that are dealing with stuff. The FBI says we weren't able to identify the YouTube commenter. We weren't able to identify the person who posted on YouTube the threat. We obviously investigated this. We looked into it because somebody said they wanted to be a professional school shooter, and we're worried about that stuff. We weren't able to identify this person. He posted in his full given legal name on YouTube.
Nice.
You weren't able to identify him? He gave you his name.
And aside from that, you're the FBI. Aren't you able to go to YouTube and be like, hey, we're going to need the IP address of whoever left this comment?
Even if they said, hey, he was hiding behind some obfuscation software and we couldn't track him down and blah, 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 blah. Doesn't matter. He posted in his given legal name. He didn't post as school shooter 852. He didn't post as crazy man 69. He posted in his name. And you said, we weren't able to identify the commenter. Well, first thing you could do is make a list of kids with that name in the state of Florida or in the country and start narrowing it down, weaning it down from there, even if you had nothing to go off of. That is the worst excuse I've heard in a while. And I bet you some of these parents are not going to take that. They're going to say that's not acceptable. There needs to be something done here where we make sure when somebody sends along a tip like, hey, guys, heads up, school shooter here, that you really do look into it. Question for you, though.
Yeah.
Daylight saving time or daylight savings?
Savings.
I always said savings. Yeah, I always said the plural, like with an S on the end.
Is that not correct?
I don't know. The articles I've seen about this story, which is really interesting, actually, they all say daylight saving time with no S on the end.
Let's Wikipedia.
If that's the case, I've been screwing this up for a really long time. But this could be good news, because a lot of people are upset about this whenever it happens. Spring forward, fall back, all that. The Florida House on Wednesday overwhelmingly approved a proposal aimed at observing daylight saving time year-round in the state.
All right, Wikipedia calls it daylight saving time, but also commonly referred to as daylight savings time in speech. And known as summertime in some countries.
All right, so we're able to call it savings time without feeling too dumb, I guess is the point there.
Calling it saving time feels weird.
It does, right?
It feels awkward.
That's why I had to say that. I was like, everybody's going to think we're stupid because everybody says daylight savings time. They say spring forward, fall back. That's what we do for daylight savings time. House members voted 103-11 to support this measure. If you want to look it up, it's HB 1013.
Yeah.
You're not going to look at it? No. I didn't figure. There was a representative, Heather...
You're going to tell me about it.
Heather Fitzhagen and a representative, Jeanette Nunez, and these two ladies know what they're doing.
And Hagen fits Heather.
Because they said moving to daylight saving time could help the tourism industry as people will be able to stay out later in the sunlight. There's another bill similar moving through the Senate. It seems to have a whole bunch of support. So now how does this impact you? What's going to happen? What will change here if this actually goes through and becomes law in the state of Florida? Well, here's what they say. The legislature, if they approve this, the proposal to shift to year-round daylight saving time would depend on congressional approval. A daylight saving time will start March 11th this year and end November 4th, but we would just stay at the time where it's brighter longer for the state of Florida, for everybody's sanity, for my damn clock on my oven in my microwave at the house that I have to reset every time we do this. For all of those things and all of those reasons, I think this would be just a bang-up idea.
So you said it ends in November, so it doesn't end in November?
No.
We're just going to, March 11th, we're going to switch to Eastern Daylight Time and never look back?
If this goes through, if they pass it. And I think a lot of people support that because I think people hate those days where it gets dark at 5. It's annoying. It gets dark at 5 and you feel like, God, I just got off of work and now it's pitch black outside. And I don't see a lot of reasons for doing this anymore. It might have been useful when we were all a bunch of farmers and stuff.
I like the variety.
What, switching it up?
Yeah.
You like having to change your clocks back and forth?
Which clocks do I have to change? My phone does it automatically. My computers do it automatically.
I still manage to have a couple that don't do it themselves. Let's check out a couple of dispatches. Here is a Big Red with a dispatch.
Hey, news junkies. My take on the school shooting thing is that, you know, it's somebody's job to be there at the school preventing people from just being in, able to get on campus and walk around and do whatever the hell they want. You know, they have two school resource officers, two of them, for over 3,000 students.
Damn.
In what world is that logical? In what world can two people, like, effectively protect 3,000 kids?
The answer is not. It's not. That is a huge campus. That would be like having, and I hate to compare a school to a prison, but two prison guards for the entire prison.
There should be cameras. Like, they should have to be buzzed in. Like, how did he just, what did he do? Did he hop a fence? Like, at least if he had to hop a fence, that would make me feel better. You know, at least if there was a fence. But no, this kid walked straight in there. No, nothing stopping him. That's my thing, is why is he allowed to go there with nothing preventing him? Somebody is responsible for letting him on that campus, and they failed at their job.
Yeah, a lot of people with those same exact feelings. One more real quick. Here's Easy Ian.
All right, there's only two cents I'm going to throw in, but it all starts with parenting. Man, that starts at a young age. Something was put in his head or was not put in his head. I believe 100% it all starts at a young age and with your parents. Someone got to be held accountable. Let's start there.
Yeah.
Just my opinion.
Yeah, it makes
dilly.
It makes you think. Thank you, Easy Even.
I think a lot of the texters were saying that his parents are not alive anymore.
No, his dad was, because he called his dad after and said, I made a mistake. And his dad said, you got to turn yourself in. Back in a moment. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Because you're never too old to learn something stupid. This is the News Junkie. 'Cause we're gonna be legends. Gonna get their attention. What we're doing here ain't just scary. It's about to be legendary.
The next episode with C-Lane momentarily. And if you're wondering why Sabrina's not here, there's one person on this planet that you can blame and blame hard.
Uh-huh.
President Trump. That is why Sabrina is not here right now.
That's not the name I was going to come up with, but yes, that's right. You're right.
I know that sounds odd, but she's not here right now, right this moment, because of President Trump. Of all the people out there, all the things that could have thrown something off, it's the President of the United States, because we're flying private to the Bahamas today. And I guess the president also has decided to fly to West Palm at some point, to West Palm Beach.
Right.
And the airspace around Air Force One is very closely protected, obviously. And so we had times all set up for our flights, and it turns out that this did not work well with what the president wanted to do. So had to bump it up a little bit. She's gone over there. And how about this? Are you aware of this? Are you in on this?
What?
I don't know. I didn't even think about this.
I'm in on things. You're in on things.
Well, there's some talk maybe of doing a Monday show live from the Bahamas. A Bahamas show.
That would be amazing.
A Monday show live from the Bahamas.
Right.
Which would just be absolutely cool. Something that we've never obviously done before. But either we'll be back live on Monday or it'll be that.
Right.
And either way, it's going to be really, really fun and exciting. So I hope that turns out to be what we're looking for. Everybody wants a little break. Everybody wants a little bit of time in the Bahamas, for God's sake. Surprised you aren't ready to go yet, C-Lin.
A lot of parts of me are ready.
Yeah. Just particular parts?
I'm just saying.
My penis is ready.
Buddy, my penis is ready for some Bahamas.
Just some of him is ready. Sabrina was full-on ready. When she showed up this morning, she had a very flashy Hawaiian shirt on. It was in island mode already. You've got one ready to go, I'm sure?
I've got them lined up on my bed, ready to be packed. I got pretty much everything in my duffel bag except the clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's going to be good.
It's going to be an exciting time. But if you're wondering where she is, C-Lane's in for the next episode because of President Trump. It's his fault.
That guy. This time.
Yeah, he's the one responsible. Before we do the next episode, I want to play something for you because, once again, there's a stupid controversy in the world of the Olympics. They have not been this year without controversy. And they have a lot of commentators who get attention. One of them being Bodie Miller, who is a former U.S. skier and now the NBC Olympics commentator, obviously knows a wealth of information about skiing on the Olympic level, which is great.
As he should.
And then he said something during the broadcast when he was talking about Austrian skier and 2014 gold medalist Anna Veith, or Veith, one of those two. During Wednesday's broadcast of the women's giant slalom, Miller discussed her changed performance. She did not do well. She finished 15th.
Ooh.
But he said something that has him on the defense today. Here's the actual comment.
Ended for great speed. Just hasn't been the same since.
And yeah, you can. The knee is certainly an issue. I want to point out she also got married. And it's historically very challenging to race on the World Cup with a family or after being married. It's just, you know, not to blame the spouses, but I just want to toss that out there that it could be your husband's fault.
Oh. So people got mad about that comment, and he got a whole bunch of flack.
If I were her husband, I'd probably be a little mad at that comment.
I think it's a weird comment, and he probably shouldn't have made it. But could it be that I could see family being distracting if you're at some kind of event? But I wonder, like, it's a weird commentary. Would they say that about a guy out there with skis on? Would they go, "Yep, you know, he's married now. The old battle axe is holding him down, and that's why he's not winning medals here."
I think more people would be offended if they, I guess.
If he said it about a guy?
Yeah.
As opposed to a woman? He followed up, he said, "To be clear, I was not seriously blaming Anna Veith's lack of results on her husband. It's a changing of priorities that is historically hard to do, male or female." Then, afterwards, he said, "I do apologize for my ill-advised attempt at a joke. I was an athlete that competed after marriage, and I know how beneficial it is. I know the support team you need. On Valentine's Day, I did not mean to throw spouses under the bus. I'm going to be hearing it from my wife, I know." Yeah, Valentine's Day.
Of all days.
Worst possible time you could throw that out there.
Oh, how did yours fare?
We went and had some drinks. Yeah, and the Bahamas, Valentine's Day, there's all together, wrapped around together. I probably didn't hit a home run, C-Lane, if I'm honest.
It's okay. We're going to be in a matter of hours. Overseas in paradise, just make up for it there.
Yeah, I think people will forget about
with
it
your penis.
Time. And by mine's ready for the Bahamas too. Just absolutely geared up and ready to go.
Sabrina leaves for 10 minutes, and this just off the rails testosterone levels. Good gosh!
There is another time traveler coming forward, C-Lane. Mm-hmm. This guy says, "You know what? The person who said they were from 2020, whatever." The person who said they were from 21, what? Boring, he said. Absolutely boring. I'm from 8973. That's the future, baby. That's a long ways away. 8973.
I think 8973 is late enough that they go back in time and go, "What is an iPhone?"
Right.
Or maybe what is a phone?
You guys, if you're from 8973, you got some bombs to drop. That would be like us going back, oh my God, you know, we're only in 2018, so we'd be back in before Christ and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Early civilizations, we could drop some bombs on those people if they would understand them. This guy, probably completely full of it too. No, you know, 100% completely full of it. Yeah. Let's just put that out there, but let's listen in anyways. What is this British government worker who has been to 8973? What's he got to say?
"There are many advanced technologies being kept secret from you. There are plans to release these technologies to the public eventually, but as of now, they are highly classified. I was sat down in a dark room and had to swear that I would never tell anybody anything about my job or my work."
Yeah, you're doing that.
"I took the oath, but now I see it as better for humanity if I come forward and tell the truth. We had developed a machine that allowed one to not only time travel, but move between these parallel universes.
Ooh.
This is how time travel works. Every time someone travels, they travel between parallel universes. They travel to an alternate universe, or a universe in which the year is different from the one they came from. That is why some accounts of the future might be different than others.
Well, he's got an excuse for it. He went to 8973. How amazing. And he said that he found a utopia there.
So he went to 8973 from the past, or he's from 8973 originally, and he came to say hi.
Well, really, he's just a guy named Billy who has nothing to do with any of this. But in his world, he's William Taylor. He says he worked with British intelligence in the early 2000s, and he went to 8973.
Nice.
I don't know why he came back, because there's not a lot of reasons with the stuff you see on the news to head back into 2018, but he did anyway. He found a utopia. No disease, no death, no crime. That sounds pretty good. Humans were gone. Oh, that's not good. Replaced with
That's why there's none of the stuff.
Replaced with human-robot hybrids. I told you! Mm-hmm. I told you this guy is right!
Bum, bum, bum.
Damn it.
I don't know that button.
Human-robot hybrids did it in 8973. Earth still existed, one of many planets these beings had colonized in a bid to find more space. Even the robots have space problems in 8973. Taylor insists the government has a wealth of advanced technologies that are being kept secret from the public, but admits some of it will be released to the general public by 2028. So those of you having a rocky time right now, kind of freaking out about things happening in life, buckle up. 10 years from now, we're going to get some super technology, and we'll go live with the robot people in 8973. So believe them or don't. I'm going to choose don't on this one.
I'm with that.
There it is. And he says he's been to the future. He's seen it, and it is rosy, but humanless, unfortunately, for us humans. Let's do the next episode.
Because there's a lot on TV, and you can't possibly keep up with all of it. Even though you should, because what else are you going to talk about?
Hey there, little pussy.
Nothing. Weather's nice. It's time for the next episode
with me! Yeah!
All right, how's everybody doing?
Very well.
Every
very well.
One of you.
Yeah.
It's time for some next episode. It's time to see what's going on in the world of entertainment. Of course, we'll start by looking back on some of the things that happened. And 39 years ago today, the Grammys were held.
Yeah.
And
they did that all of the years.
Well, Saturday Night Fever won the Grammy for Album of the Year. These guys picked up Best Pop Group. I got to turn this on if I want that to play.
Let's see. Oh, yeah, the Bee Gees.
The Bee Gees won Best Pop Group and Best Arrangement for Voices for Staying Alive. And then Just the Way You Are by Billy Joel, Record and Song of the Year.
Man, times have changed.
Yeah.
This would win these days.
This would win.
You think so? Again, if you put
Staying Alive? If Bruno Mars had a similar Staying Alive kind of song.
Yeah, you might be right. Right here, this is the thing that always hits me. Walking down the hallways of iHeart.
That's going to come back to haunt us, I'm sure. But congratulations to the Bee Gees. One of the stars of this movie...
Oh, Wayne's World.
It's not one that you're going to remember was in it, because she actually looked very different when she was in it. But Laura Flynn Boyle.
Oh, my God. I saw this photo.
She is not looking good.
I was trying to tell Sabrina about this, but I couldn't remember her name earlier. Laura Flynn Boyle was a big star for a little while.
She was. She dated some big names. She had roles in Twin Peaks, Men in Black 2, Land of the Blind. And she played the weird... ex-girlfriend, I want to say Stacy.
In Wayne's
that,
World?
Yeah, that was obsessed with Wayne and that bought him a gun rack, even though he didn't own a gun.
Well, just in case.
Much less many guns that would necessitate an entire rack.
Yeah.
But actress Laura Flynn Boyle was spotted in the parking lot of some sort of grocery store, sipping Johnny Walker Red Label out of the bottle whilst sitting right at the driver's seat.
It's really sad, kind of. She's sitting in the car by herself. She clearly just went in to get this alcohol, and she's next-level alcoholic, so she's pounding it in the driver's seat by herself.
She looks disheveled, wear loose clothing. Her face is kind of puffed up a bit.
Yeah.
And she's wearing a hat, but paparazzi were able to get pictures of her. And then after she gets in the car, she swigs from the bottle of Johnny Walker, puts it down, and then drives away.
Now, can she get in trouble for that? Because she's drinking and driving, obviously getting caught doing that.
It's definitely illegal in California, and while she wasn't driving the car at the time, the open container in the car, I think, falls under something called unlawful consumption. Yeah, in a rare public appearance, she told the Hollywood Reporter she was mistreated all the time in her career when people asked her about the Harvey Weinstein style accusations. They asked her, were you mistreated? She said, absolutely. She said, I looked at it on two levels. Do I want to flip burgers? Do I want to put up with someone not being appropriate with me? I chose the other side, which is kind of a sad go at it, but there's nothing not sad about these pictures.
Yeah, take a look at it. It's up in the You See It Now section of the News Junkie app if you want to take a peek at what it looks like. She's just doing the whole drinking alone thing.
And that is totally sad. Blake Griffin's ex is suing him for ditching her for Kendall Jenner. I didn't know that was something you could sue for.
Exes can sue you?
Maybe in some states. Let's find out. Blake Griffin's ex-girlfriend, Bryn Cameron, is suing him for palimony.
Is that a thing?
What the hell is palimony?
Is that like a thing where you're not married, but you're together and now you got to pay alimony?
That's what it sounds like it is. She's suing for palimony after he dumped her and ran off with Kendall Jenner. You see, Blake and Bryn were together on and off for 8 years and have two kids. She says they made an oral agreement in 2013 that she would quit her job to raise the kids so he could concentrate on his basketball career. She also said she acted as his, quote, personal assistant, meal planner, scheduler, stylist, publicist, party planner, nurse, nutritionist, branding expert, therapist, cheerleader, basketball, and fitness consultant.
Wow.
And more.
A lot of work.
She did a lot. They finally set a wedding date for July of last year, but a month before the wedding, he asked her to sign a prenup. She refused because she said it contradicted the oral agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know that that's going to stand up in the court of law.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he we'll bailed at the wedding. And, quote, immediately embarked on a high-profile affair with Kendall Jenner. Then she claims he stopped supporting her financially. So, naturally, she wants millions.
Okay.
Millions of dollars.
Good luck!
From Blake Griffin's ex. Sorry, I don't know if that's going to happen. A former James Bond could be spending some time in a not-so-comfortable jail. Pierce Brosnan is wanted for questioning by police in India about a commercial he filmed that promotes a product commonly associated with chewing tobacco. Tobacco advertising is illegal there. Police say if Pierce doesn't respond, he could face 2 years in prison or a massive $78 fine.
Wow. What, $78? That's it?
Or 2 years in prison.
I think I'll pay the $78.
Are you sure, Pierce?
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I was worried that you'd pick the 2 years in prison.
I haven't seen Pierce Brosnan in a lot of things lately, but I'm going to take a wild guess he could pay $78.
If you look, well, especially if he just got paid for doing this commercial. And if you look at clips from the commercial, he looks like he's grayed out a little bit. So he looks kind of like the most interesting man in the world from the original Dos Equis commercials. This was for a product called Pan Bihar, and it could put him in prison. Also, he filmed it in 2016. I don't know why police are just now remembering to get pissed.
It's India. They got a lot of stuff going on.
Pan Bihar is marketed as a quote-unquote mouth freshener. But it's a form of pan masala, a product that usually contains chewing tobacco, and advertising tobacco products in India is against the law, so the cops want to talk to Pierce. The people who make Pan Bihar claim there's no tobacco in it, but maybe it's just the association they're upset about. And when the commercial came out last year, Brosnan said they tricked him into thinking he was promoting a product with no harmful ingredients. So,
notice C-Lane got all the way through that story without doing a single Indian accent at all. Because you're probably seeing what's happened across the country with this WEEI radio station.
Really just forgot to.
Yeah, would have done it. Really? See, they would have rolled the dice anyways, despite what's happening, everybody getting fired and that station being in a mess. He's still willing to do it for you.
Not allowed to advertise the tobacco. I'm very surprised that Sabrina did not print this out for me, but she could have been keeping it for herself because it would be very exciting news for her. You see, the new Lion King movie is under works right now.
Uh-huh.
And they need a new song. They need a new end credits song.
Of course.
According to Elton John. There's going to be four of our songs in the film from the original, like Can You Feel the Love Tonight, Hakuna Matata, Just Can't Wait to Be King, and Circle of Life. And then there will be an end closing song. And he says hopefully he can work with this person.
What happened at the New Orleans?
How the hell? Oh.
Beyonce?
Yes, Beyonce. Oh, of course. I didn't know that started with some sort of weird clip. But he won an Oscar, Elton John, on the 1994 animated movie and two further nominations, co-writing the songs Can You Feel the Love Tonight, Circle of Life, and Hakuna Matata with Tim Rice. And now he has confirmed the duo are working on a new song for the Jon Favreau reboot of the Disney classic. It'll be an end credit song, and he's been speaking to Beyonce's people. Hopefully, he says, Tim Cook and himself can cook her up something that's going out
in
2018 as well.
Tim Cook can cook it up and cook up this? I mean, come on. How do you recreate this? This is lightning in a bottle.
All in love, and here's the bottom line.
Ha, trios down to two.
Nailed it.
Oh.
This was one of the greatest soundtrack songs of all time.
Absolutely.
I would argue. And I feel like if anybody could do it right, Jon Favreau, or Jon Favreau, is your guy. This is the beginning right here?
Also, Nathan Lane is amazing in every way.
Oh, so good, right?
Such a good movie.
Oh, there it is.
All right. Now, growing up, Sean, and I'll try to make this quick and we can move on to the boob tube. Did you ever have a friend with a hot mom? You just said no, you didn't have any friends?
Stop right at friends.
Nothing's changed.
No. I have friends. God damn you guys. I have friends. I'm just a busy man. I did, yeah, actually.
Yeah?
I'm not going to say who, but I did.
I've already mentioned the person that had the hot mom today once.
Oh, really?
It was the best friend. Mm. But it's always an awkward thing, and I grew up with people who know what it's like to have a hot mom, and so it's got to be awkward to be Elizabeth Hurley's son, who is I think he's like 15 years old. Hurley's 39. And obviously, Elizabeth Hurley, very attractive.
Sure, yeah.
First shot to fame in the early 1990s after landing her first campaign with Estee Lauder, and then was in the Austin Powers movie. And but something weird about being Liz Hurley's son, she has him take a lot of her sexy photographs.
Really? That's
that
weird.
She posts online. Yeah, the television presenter Christine Lambert says she feels sorry for Hurley's kid. After the model reveals he is the photographer behind a number of her bikini shots. In fact, some of them that she posts, you can even see the shadow of the kid.
Don't make your kid do that.
In the background. On the boob tube tonight, primetime Olympic coverage on NBC.
I can see what's happening.
Nashville on CMT.
They don't have a
lip sync battle.
Oh, they'll fall in love.
In this lip sync battle, father versus son, when NFL player LeVar Ball takes on his NBA son, Lonzo Ball. And then Natalie Portman and Kyrie Irving on Jimmy Kimmel. That's it for the next episode. And of course.
High diving face first into the world's most viral newsroom. This is the News Junkie.
I push and you tend to shove. I give in and you don't give up. I'm not getting out of here this time. I brought a lemon to a knife fight.
Live trivia in just a moment. Get your app up and ready to go. Quick correction though. I was mentioning earlier that this shooter's dad had received a call from him, and then he said, hey, look, I made a mistake. I did something terrible. And then that led to the arrest that everybody's seen the video of on the side of the road. Thank you for sending along the email, tips@thenewsjunkie.com. And I believe it was Kathy. Thank you, Kathy. The Sun Sentinel did more of an in-depth profile. He was adopted from a very young age. And his parents were much older, and they both died in the last couple of years. I think the mother, even more recent than that. So, yeah, they are indeed dead. They were adoptive parents, and they said after that he seemed to spiral down even further. So, there we go. Thanks for the information. Always send stuff, tips@thenewsjunkie.com. Let's do live trivia.
Get ready for live trivia with the News Junkie. You can play along with the News Junkie smartphone app.
Right. What?
Unless you don't have it, in which case get it at thenewsjunkie.com or call 407-916-1041. Toll free 888-978-1041. Good luck.
is Live Trivia for a Thursday, February 15th, 2018. Seven questions, as always, two callers, and you. You're playing along right now in the News Junkie app. Let's get those players. Time Traveler Tom, are you there?
What up?
All right, Tom. What year are you from, Time Traveler Tom? Just curious.
2118.
All right, there you go. 2118. Is it good or bad there?
A lot of technology.
There we go. That's very official. Hot Mama, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. Yeah, you sound very, very attractive. Thank you, Hot Mama.
Wait, I'm here.
All right. Hot Mama and...
Nailed it, Hot Mama.
Time Traveler Tom, our players in live trivia today. Let's fire away with question number one. There's a new website inspired by the season 4 episode Hang the DJ, in which a dating service determines the length of a couple's relationship. What's the website called? The Forever Never Lover, MirrorMatch.net, Bloom or Doomed, or Coach.dating? Time Traveler Tom.
Coach.dating.
What do you think, Hot Mama?
Same thing.
Number two, a Bitcoin. Not Bitcoin. A Bichon Frise. That's a dog.
Bitcoin Frise.
Bitcoin Frise won the highest award, Best in Show, at the 142nd Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show in New York City late Tuesday. What's the dog that won? What's the dog's name? Brandy, Babykins, Flynn, or Fluffy? Hot Mama.
Flynn?
You say Flynn, Time Traveler Tom?
Flynn.
Number three, some very unusual food was served to the dogs at the Westminster Dog Show, including balls of raw meat mixed with molasses and peanut butter. What do they call them? Are they donut holes, Satan balls, PB and tartar balls, or devil yum-yums? Time Traveler Tom.
Let's do the second one.
All right, Hot Mama?
Devil yum-yum.
All right, double yum-yums for you. Number four, yesterday porn fans were able to access premium X-rated videos for free as a special Valentine's Day
treat. I never did.
Didn't check in with them.
Damn it.
What was the website? Was it Pornhub.com, GooTube.com, XFerret.com, or Pornolingus.com? Hot Mama.
Pornhub.
Time Traveler Tom.
Same.
Number five, according to reports, a normally obscure attraction in South Korea is drawing some crowds. Is it Schlong Gardens, Penis Park, Haestondong? What am I supposed to do with that? Haestondong Park or Meadow of the Wang? Time Traveler Tom.
Penis Park.
Hot Mama.
Same thing.
Number six, a cocoa shop owner caught a man in the act of stealing. Instead of sending him to jail, though, he gave him the option to do this. Did he wear a shame sign outside the store, get spanked 20 times, confess his crime on Facebook Live, or be the owner's servant for 1 week? Hot Mama.
Oh, our second one.
All right, Time Traveler Tom.
Facebook.
Last question. Here we go. Yesterday, we learned that Peter Gabriel's In Your Eyes was not originally in the Say Anything scene, the very famous scene in that movie. What song was actually playing? Was it Bob Seger's Horizontal Bop, Two Live Crew's Me So Horny, Project Pat's Let's Run a Train, or Fishbone's Bonin' in the Backyard? Time Traveler Tom.
The last one.
Hot Mama?
It goes the same thing.
Here we go. We'll put you both on hold. We'll go over the questions and the answers and find a winner and give them a prize and all of that good stuff in very short time here. Time Traveler Tom, Hot Mama facing off. C-Lane, you ready to go through these?
Yeah, let's do this. We got some dings.
We got some, yeah.
Some buzzes. All right,
there we
ready
go.
Ready to go.
Number one, what's the website that tells you how long your relationship's going to last?
Time Traveler Tom and Hot Mama both said coach.dating, and that was correct.
Number two, not a Bitcoin, but a Bichon Frise won Best in Show. What was the dog's name?
The Hot Mama and the Time Traveler both said Flynn, and that was not rough.
Number three. Right.
I'm sorry, guys.
These treats for dogs at the Westminster Dog Show, what were they called?
Hot Mama said double yum-yums, and that was wrong. But Time Traveler Tom said Satan balls, and that was hard to say.
Triple T, number four, yesterday, porn fans got free X-rated videos, premium ones, from this website.
Hot Mama and Time Traveler Tom both said Pornhub. Probably spend a little bit of time on it. I didn't get a chance to, but that was correct.
Number five, according to reports, this attraction in South Korea is drawing some visitors.
Hot Mama and Time Traveler Tom both said Penis Park, and that's correct.
Number six, a cocoa shop owner found somebody stealing. Somebody who, mind you, was going to try to get a job. They went there for an application to get a job at this place. And he said, instead of going to jail, you can do this.
Hot Mama said, get spanked 20 times, and you can get spanked 20 times. That was wrong. Time Traveler Tom said, confess his crime on Facebook Live. That was accurate.
Number 7, it wasn't in your eyes on that boombox originally and say anything. What was it?
Time Traveler Tom and Hot Mama both said the correct answer of fish bones boning in the backyard, but we have a winner. It's Time Traveler Tom with a perfect score.
All right.
Yeah.
Congratulations. He's from the future. It may have been easier for him to do that. He could just somehow look back. I guess everybody kind of has the same shot regardless. Whatever. Congratulations, Time Traveler Tom. You are the winner of live trivia. C-Lan, what do we have for prizes?
Sir, you can make time for one of these things. I have a pair of tickets to the advanced screening of Death Wish starring Bruce Willis on Wednesday, February 28th at Regal Waterford Lakes. That's with Dean Norris, Kimberly Elise, Vince D'Onofrio. Big, big cast for Death Wish, and you can check that out on Wednesday, February 28th. I also have a pair of tickets to the Monster Energy AMA Supercross at Raymond James Stadium on February 24th, plus a pair of Supercross pit passes for before the show. Those tickets are on sale right now, and you can visit realradio.fm, keyword tickets, for more information.
All right, I'll take a look at the scoreboard. The number one spot for the week, the prize winner, email me, please. The Dida. Is it the Dida or the Dida?
I say Dida, Dida, something
all
like
right.
that.
The Dida, then. Fancy Nancy just beat out by the Dida. Funky Fresh 525 in at number 3. Took my Chevy to the Levy, but the Levy was bright. You got to do that every day, C-Lane, don't you?
Yep.
Man, Nate 6913 in at number 5. Smelly Primate. My name is Chip. Please keep me anonymous. Renee, Drunken Pirate, and Droopy Dog rounding out the top 10. Just barely making it on the scoreboard. You should be proud of yourself, but also a little upset. Pop, Wiggle, Poop, just barely making it up there. Do better next week, please. And I know you can do it. I have faith in you that you can do it. The winner, email me. We'll get you all set up. Live trivia brought to you by Nations Trucks and NationsTrucks.com. And when we come back, Scott Baio has more problems on his hand and And I don't think he expected it to come from this direction, but the new twist in the story is up next. Stay put. You're going to want to hear this. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Story time with the three best friends you never knew you had. This is the News Junkie.
Just keeping you updated with the latest on the Parkland High School shooting. And they're saying as of a couple minutes ago, somebody who is a representative of a group called the Republic of Florida, which they're calling a white supremacist group, claims that this shooter was a member of Republic of Florida and had participated in some drills with them. I don't know what that entails or means or... But clearly that's going to be part of the narrative now that he was a member of this white supremacist group, if there's any truth to that at all. The guy who says he's in that group goes by an assumed name anyway, so I don't know if he'll be able to verify this or if there's any way they'll be able to prove this and it's not just some sort of troll going on. The person who said they were the leader of Republic of Florida claimed that it was no coincidence that this happened on Valentine's Day, that he was having trouble with some girl, the shooter that is, and that that may have been a motive behind this.
So were they endorsing him doing it?
No.
As ISIS would do?
No, they were saying he did this on his own behalf, but before you find out, we want to let you know this guy is part of our group and was participating in some stuff with us. So who knows what if that is going to actually end up being true. I mean, like I said, there's so much that floats around in the wake of these stories. Some of it purposefully false, and some of it just false. And that's because people get things wrong, like the thing with the father. Now, I had heard on multiple stations that the shooter had called his father, said, I made a big mistake, blah, blah, blah. Dad said where he was, the police surrounded him, and that was what led to the arrest. That isn't true, clearly. He may have been talking to the person who he was living with, which is some family friend kind of thing, or whatever. They also said that the family knew he had this gun, and that not only did they know he had this gun, they tried to make sure it was secure and locked up at all times, but that he had the key to where the gun was being held. They said they hadn't seen him playing with or shooting the gun, the assault rifle, or the semi-automatic weapon that he used, I guess I should refer to it as, during the commission of this this murder of 17 fellow students and injury of a whole lot more. But they did say he was playing with like a pellet gun or something recently. I don't know if that ties into this at all. So those are the latest pieces of information there. Also, there was a really emotional moment on CNN where they had a guy on. It's a former CIA intelligence analyst, and his name's Phil Mudd. And he fell apart during this interview. Listen to this.
You think it's antiseptic. It's not. I talked to a terrorist who almost died because he wanted to blow up a weapon, a car bomb. And he was sent to blow up that car bomb by ISIS and Al-Qaeda. And they didn't tell him he was going to go blow up the car bomb. When he detonated, the car caught fire. It didn't blow up. And I talked to him after he lost a lot of his skins, his hands, his feet.
More than one.
I have 10 nieces and nephews. We're talking about bump stocks. We're talking about legislation. A child of God is dead. Cannot we acknowledge in this country that we cannot accept this? I can't do it, Wolf. I'm sorry. We can't do it.
Yeah. Oops.
Talking to Wolf Blitzer.
All right, we're going to get back to you, but you're obviously, this is so emotional. Unfortunately, it happens all too often.
Wolf's a robot like me. Just power through. He's like, this the human being is upset over here. Yeah. All right, continue on. He said, "A child."
Oh, those tears. Let's hear dispatches.
He said, "A child of God is dead," and he was all over the place, kind of scattershot with his points that he was making before that. But it just shows you some of the emotions that are going on through these people on the other side of the world, I guess, at least in terms of the connection to this story. This band here, C-Lane.
Smashing Pumpkins.
These Smashing Pumpkins. You barely edged out your competition just now, but that's a point for you, friend. The Smashing Pumpkins reunion is imploding.
Already?
Yeah, and that means it's a great success, because that's very Smashing Pumpkins of this to happen. They were going to confirm. Can you look up real quick if their Twitter or anything official has posted anything? Because today they were supposed to confirm the release of a new album featuring most of the band's classic lineup and a tour along with it. It'll be the first new song from the Smashing Pumpkins, if they released this already, featuring Billy Corgan, Jimmy Chamberlain, James Iha, but not Darcy Redsky. And because this is how the band works, there was a bunch of texts that were released by Darcy, and it was yesterday or so when these leaked out, and it showed that Billy Corgan asked Darcy to be a part of the reunion, but then they had a fight over timing of it or something, and then disinvited Darcy after the invitation was already out there. So they're fighting, and they may be continuing. Did you see anything official out?
The Shiny and Oh So Bright tour was announced today at 12:04 p.m. Billy Corgan, James Iha, Jeff Schroeder, and Jimmy Chamberlain celebrating songs from their first five albums, from Gish to Machina.
Yeah.
Or Machina, however you like to say that. The tickets will be available Friday, February 23rd at 10 a.m. on Live Nation.
Yeah, but Machina, that word gets me all the time, because what's that movie? Is it Ex Machina or whatever?
Ex Machina.
Okay.
And that was the one where the robots...
yeah, with the naked robots.
Yeah.
And then in that movie, when everybody was talking about it, some people would be Ex Machina. And they say it all kinds of different ways. So I would just kind of point at it instead of saying it. I got scared of some of these things. But they didn't release any new songs on there?
I don't see anything about new songs.
What a bummer.
There's the Shiny and Oh So Bright tour, five albums, blah, blah, blah.
All right. Well, maybe soon, first song from Smashing Pumpkins in a decade is going to be released. Meanwhile, Scott Baio, who I was talking about for the tease before this segment, he is from Charles in Charge. I know him better from Arrested Development. He is Bob Loblaw. Oh, God, this always screws me up.
Bob Loblaw.
Bob Loblaw, who has a law blog.
Yeah, the Bob Loblaw law blog.
Damn, good for you. Scott Baio is under some heat here, though. Some fire coming at him from former TV counterparts, including, I'm trying to find her name, Nicole Eggert. That's her name. She was the first to come out and say that there was inappropriate behavior between herself and Scott Baio. And now you've got another person from the show, and it's a guy, Alex Polinsky, who was also on Charles in Charge, says that I was sexually harassed and ultimately assaulted between the ages of 12 and 15 years old by Scott Baio. And she, the biggest mistake that this guy and also Nicole Eggert made was showing up with Lisa Bloom, who's as discredited as anybody can be,
yeah,
as part of a lot of these different cases.
What was the other one? Was she the one that was on?
Oh, she had she went with Harvey Weinstein to defend him for a hot second, and then decided that was a bad idea. She's been the attorney for what's her name, the comedian with the beheaded photos.
That's the one I was thinking of, Kathy Griffin.
Kathy Griffin, and just a lot of stuff she's been involved in that kind of fell apart. But the idea that before all of this, she was going to represent or did represent Harvey Weinstein himself. So the press conference is part of this CBS report, and you'll hear some of the accusations from this Charles in Charge actor, Alexander Polinsky.
Tried to convince me that I was unlovable, defective, and branding me with the most vulgar words for homosexuals that exist. Scott pulled down my pants in front of over 100 people. And on another time, he laughed as he cut a hole in the canvas wall of my private dressing room on set and exposed his genitals to me.
Nicole Eggert accused her former co-star of abusing her as well. Their attorney says the two went to the LAPD last week to talk to detectives.
I was also enduring my own abuse from Scott Baio, so it was hard for me to stand up for anybody else when I was trying to find my own truth.
So he's got a bunch of pressure on him now. He says none of this is true. Scott denies every single claim of inappropriate behavior. If you examine the claims made, they could be refuted with evidence. That's according to his attorney. I think they're supposed to have their own press conference today. He's in a mess, man. And now somebody else, a kid who worked with him on Charles in Charge, is saying he too was part of this behavior. Back in just a moment with Jury Duty, and you're really going to want to pay attention to an update in Jury Duty today. I think you'll be interested in this. Details on the way. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
At Real Radio 104.1 on Twitter. Brought to you by Seacoast Bank. See why local is better by visiting seacoastbank.com. Better by all accounts since 1926. Member FDIC. From Real Radio. Cooking up today's lead stories. This is the News Junkie, Sean Wasson.
Jury Duty. In just a moment, and some of your dispatches. Like 5,000 things going on today at once. Two people running around.
Man. Multitasking my face off.
Yeah, there's quite a bit happening, and we're headed out of here very soon. Sabrina's already off and in the air probably now, yep. Headed to the Bahamas, and we're going to be doing a show Monday, hopefully, if everything falls together. Either we'll be back live Monday, or there'll be a show live from the Bahamas. One of the two of those options is what's going to be happening. So that should be fun. I'm sure we'll have some stories collected out there. Secret Show subscribers, I do want to get a message out there to you. Those of you who aren't, shame on you. Make this the time you do it, because you're not going to want to miss this Bahamas Secret Show. Go to GetSecretShows.com and sign up now. But those of you who are subscribers, normally it's around tonight at about 7 or so that the show gets posted, and then you get your notification. No idea what the rest of the day is going to look like. So it could be tonight. It could be tomorrow. I don't know exactly when that show will come out. But there's a bonus show in there in the meantime with my son Dylan, and you can check that out. And there will be one either today or tomorrow added in there for our latest secret show. This one, us in the Bahamas, and God knows what's going to happen. I've heard stories of some fishing boat captain guy that's supposed to be involved in some things we're doing.
We're going fishing?
I only know so much.
I loved the text we got regarding our flight situation and getting out of there, and they're like, your pilot's name is Loveless.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah.
Loveless is the pilot who I hope is a little bit older than the last pilot that we had that took us over to the Bahamas, because he was about 17, or he at least looked so young. And Sabrina sat down next to him and goes, have you done this before?
How many times have you flown a plane?
How many times have you flown a plane? Which is clearly sending a message that, hey, you look really young and I don't trust you necessarily. The weirdest thing with me, and I hate to say this right now because I don't want to jinx myself. The weirdest thing with me is that I hate flying, but the small plane over to the Bahamas last time we went, I didn't think it was that bad.
No, it wasn't. Although we were told this time to bring noise-canceling headphones,
yeah,
which I don't actually have.
And then and I keep hearing this plane is getting smaller and smaller every detail I hear about it.
Have you ever used actual, you know, and it would have been nice of Sabrina or her girl or my girlfriend Ashley to... Mm-hmm. Send a picture of this plane.
No, we got nothing.
I texted Ashley. I was like, hey, have a good flight. Love you. See you in the Bahamas. Should have been like, hey, why don't you show me what this plane looks like?
No, I don't want to see it. Just blindfold me and put me on this thing and give me those noise-canceling headphones.
I don't have any. I'm going to just have to bring these that I'm using on the air.
Yeah, I guess we'll tell you all about this. There's going to be a lot of stories to share. This show here...
Oh, Walking Dead.
You don't watch Walking Dead,
no,
do you?
I don't.
How do you not watch the two biggest shows on the planet?
What, Walking Dead and Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
I don't know. My roommates watch Walking Dead. And I remember the only episode I've ever seen was like one of the really huge episodes that we had talked about on the air.
Uh-huh.
And people were trying to be, y'all were like, don't spoil it, don't spoil it. And there's text messages coming through the texting service that just say, C-Lane, say these two words, or these three words.
Did you do it?
And I did not. No, I didn't.
You could really piss some people off like that.
But, I mean, it's far enough after that that, you know, if you're starting or if you're early on in the series, you may not want to hear this next part. But they wanted me to tell you the governor dies.
Yeah. Oh, you can't do that.
And it was really messed up, and I didn't say it, but so I get home, and my roommates are watching it, and somebody dies, and they went, oh my gosh, holy ass, like everything, they're like really
surprised,
they're like, they can't believe that happened, and I go, oh, who was that? Was that the governor?
Oh, man.
And they went, yes, and I was like,
close call.
Well, actually, it was bad because it was the governor that killed this person right before he himself died. So I go, yeah, I had a bunch of texts telling me to tell people the governor dies. And they looked at me, and I swear one of my roommates had these like kill the puppy eyes. Like, how could you do that?
Well, one thing The Walking Dead is missing is fully nude zombies. And that's one thing The Walking Dead has headed our way.
All right.
In the back half of season 8, it will feature the show's first fully nude zombie.
Carlos is probably like, what? Like,
yeah, it could have been him. Maybe it's him. Bringing him back as a zombie. There's an episode where we did our first fully nude walker. We've never done that before. Which is kind of odd, because there would be more naked zombies out there. And what does zombie genitalia look like? Not to get too deep into things, but...
Depends on who's used it.
Yeah, it's a little beaten up and dried out and crusty, kind of. That's what I would guess. They didn't give any details on whether it will be a male or female walker, or which side they'll get a look at, like the zombie ass or the zombie genitals. No telling. But when the season returns... February 25th, 10 days from today, there will be a naked walker on Walking Dead for the first time. Here's some dispatches very quickly. Here's Speedy John.
Morning, Junkies. Just want to chime in quickly on this tragedy that we had in South Florida yesterday. I don't understand if we can control access points at airports, people getting on and off planes, and what they can bring on and what they can't. Why can't we implement something like that at our schools? Put fences around the schools, control access to the property. Access points, you have to have the students go through some kind of radar x-ray machine as they're going through to make sure there's nothing harmful in their backpack, metal detectors, whatever it takes. But we've got to find a way to mitigate this, and it's certainly not going to be through gun legislation anytime soon. I would think this would be a more immediate fix is to control the property. I don't know. I mean, what do you guys think?
You want a motorcycle?
Like, fences around schools is... You'd be talking about... You'd have to be building walls around schools. You would have to be, like...
This is a huge school, too. The thing is, Speedy John, he wasn't even a student at the time. He wasn't a student. He had been booted out of the school and was going to some other school, but returned there and pulled the fire alarm. So some of that stuff, what are you going to do? It's very, very difficult to stop that once it's underway. Again, as I say all the time, if somebody wants to do it, they're going to do it. You can sit there and go to dinner tonight at an Applebee's or a Chili's and go, this is fantastic. I'm having a great meal. If somebody wanted to walk into that restaurant and kill everybody in there, they could totally do it. Totally do it. It's not difficult stuff. It doesn't take anybody who's some Rambo-like character to do it. It just takes one nut job to make the decision and for that decision to be the place that you're at. And I'm not even saying that, like, be scared, be afraid to live. I'm saying that just this is a fact of life. And the moment you take that and kind of digest it is the moment that I think you'll get along a little bit better with the things happening around you. But for this kid, the problem happened so much earlier along. And the FBI saying they couldn't identify him when he posted a YouTube comment that was sent to the FBI that was in his name that said, I'm going to be a school shooter, is where one of the things, many things went wrong. One of the things went wrong there. Here's the brown pony.
Can we just model schools after maximum security prisons? As a taxpayer, I'd be willing to pay for, I'm talking barbed wire, high walls, armed guards. Because we're horrible at seeing red flags, and we're never going to regulate guns. So just make them a fortress. I mean, that's the only way, right?
Yeah, but...
And instead of, you know, 17, you might have 2 or 3. So instead of it being 0, which that'll never happen, then there will be just less casualties by making it more secure. I don't know. Seems to be the only answer these days.
Yeah, I don't know. Wait, go ahead.
One of the messed up things about this is he picked the specific time where everybody would be leaving the school. And so you could say, hey, let's make a school like a maximum security prison. Well, you don't let all the prisoners out of the prison every day at 3 p.m.
Yeah, eventually they're going to have to leave and go home. And it's impossible to be safe all the time. That's the thing. What's really interesting here to dig around in is just the area that these kids often come from. There's a lot in common here. They're social outcasts, almost always. Many of them are on medication for mental health issues. Many of them have family situations that are broken, to say the very least. Many of them are ignored in their life by everybody around them. And there's just a lot in common when it heads down that road that if you look into it, it seems like there's some things that would just check off enough boxes so you'd go, hey, this is somebody we need to lean on a little bit. This is somebody who needs a little more attention in their life. And maybe getting an emotional contact with these people before things get too bad could swing things around. I know it's a pipe dream, but maybe, you know, you got to try something. Let's do jury duty.
Court is now in session. So put your phone down and pay attention before we call the bailiff over to whip your ass. You're now on jury duty with the News Junkie.
Jury duty brought to you by the DeWitt Law Firm. The one and only DeWitt Law Firm is available online at DeWittLaw.com. 1-800-DeWittLaw is the phone number, and ask@DeWittLaw.com is the email address. Maybe when we get to the year 8,942 or wherever that time traveler said he was from, we can have robot attorneys to defend us and maybe things will change completely. But for now, you need to make sure you have the right team going up against the insurance companies. When you get into an accident, call the DeWitt Law Firm.
I think that we've already made it past the point of prediction of Back to the Future 2, but it was supposed to be very fast judicial system, no more lawyers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we needed them to stick around, though.
Well, that's not happening for now, so no. DeWittLaw.com is what we're heading for in the meantime. By the way, Moses said earlier, Celine, you were talking about this story where somebody was going after something called palimony.
Uh-huh.
Like alimony for somebody you weren't married to?
Correct.
Moses says, good news, no palimony in the state of Florida. So we're good. If there's any angry exes out there.
Yeah, no, I've never been. I don't think I've ever been in a position where I could be sued for palimony.
Good. Yeah, we're all right then. We're okay on the palimony front. The porn star who claims she had an affair with Donald Trump, Mrs. Stormy Daniels, now says she's ready to tell all about their tryst after Trump's personal lawyer, Michael Cohen, admitted he paid her $130,000 out of his own pocket a week before the election. Neither the Trump organization nor the Trump campaign was a party to the transaction with Miss Clifford, and neither reimbursed me for the payment, either directly or indirectly, said the attorney for the New York Times. Daniels, whose real name, if you were wondering, is Stephanie Clifford, believes Cohen's admission that he paid her amounts to a breach of their contract and frees her from further performance of the nondisclosure agreement. So will she tell all about her alleged relationship, sexually or otherwise, with the president? We shall wait and see. A woman is accusing a Florida mayor, in this case, the mayor of Lantana, Florida. You ever been to Lantana, Celine?
Lantana. The only thing I know about Lantana, it is where the ticket system of the Florida Turnpike ends and it switches to coin or cash tolls.
Is that right?
Mile marker 88. That's where Lantana
is. I've been down there many, many times. It's mildly boring and a lot of old people. But
why do you think that's the only thing I know about it?
Probably. They said that down in Lantana, the mayor there, David Stewart, is up to no good. Then, in fact, there's a complaint here, I'm reading it now, from the Florida Commission of Ethics that claims this woman, and her name is not in here, actually, but she accuses the mayor, David Stewart, of offering her speed bumps in her neighborhood in exchange for sex. And you're not allowed to do that, obviously.
Speed bumps.
Speed bumps for sex.
She's trying to hoe it out for slower traffic down her streets?
Actually, quite the opposite. The mayor is trying to say, you want safer streets and you want a speed bump? Well, we have to have sex and then we can... There's a hump bump thing in there somewhere.
Well, but is she complying or is the complaint that that was the only offer?
Well, Catherine Padilla is her name, actually. Padilla alleges in her complaint that after a lunch date 3 years ago, Stewart drove her to a motel and propositioned her. She told the Palm Beach Post that she turned him down. Not long after, in August 2015, ahead of a city council vote on whether to pay for additional speed bumps, something she'd been organizing, Padilla alleges Stewart called her to say it wasn't too late to have sex with him to ensure her neighborhood was included in the measure. She turned him down again, and the measure was approved. Speed bumps for sex is what they're investigating with the mayor of Lantana. And here's an odd one to wrap things up. French lawyers for a man accused of sexual abuse say, not so fast, the 11-year-old that our client had sex with consented to the sex. Is a 29-year-old guy. And guess what? In France, they don't have a legal age of consent. So they might be able to get away with the argument that this 11-year-old wanted to have sex with a 29-year-old. And all of that is happening in the courtroom right now.
So... wait, is there an age at which somebody's a minor in France, just not in a sexual matter?
Well, they say the lawyer for the girl's family is pushing for the charges to be changed to rape. The differences in the charges between rape and sexual abuse hold very different sentences. But the man was charged with sexual abuse of a minor under 15. He said he thought she was 16. She's 11. And, yeah, in France, okay. there's no age of consent. So, and there's no actual age barriers in France when it comes down to that. Back in just a moment with the absolute, positively worst wax figure I have ever seen in an unveiling in my entire life. You're going to want to be there for this. Stay put. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Someday, Alexa will do everything.
Alexa, convince my mom I don't need to be set up on dates.
But until then...
I'm afraid I can't do that.
Just tell her to play WTKS-FM Orlando.
Getting WTKS Orlando Radio from iHeartRadio.
Filling in the gaps between the New York Times and World Star. This is the News Junkie.
Are you serious? Is that really the name of the...
That's what I was just told.
I hope that's not real. You know what? I'm not gonna send them down the river. It's our sister station, right? They can name their events whatever they want.
I like it.
Yeah, I mean, some people might hear that, though, and think, meet and greet. Yeah, meet and greet's great, but beat and greet. Just, it sounds like there are some things happening that aren't necessarily... great, I guess you could say.
Well, Depends on the beat.
Yeah, that really depends on where they're going with that. So, but so good luck to our sister station, The Beat, with The Beat and Greet. It's going to be a huge hit, I'm sure. As we get to some dispatches in just a moment here, you can send yours in through the News Junkie app. I want you to see this, C-Lane, and you'll get to go journey through MediaTakeout.com to get there, which is always fun. And you'll see the greatest headlines and all of the internet. But Niagara Falls wins. Niagara Falls wins the award for the worst celebrity wax figure I have ever seen in my entire life. And you've got to see just how bad this damn thing is. It's supposed to be this lady.
Beyonce?
Beyonce. And even Sabrina would not be able to identify that were it not for the name tag on this wax figure that they have at Niagara Falls. I didn't even know that they had a wax museum there, but I guess that they do. Let me know when you find this.
I'm looking for it.
It is so bad. The headline is, Niagara Falls wins the award for having the worst ever Beyonce wax figure. Is that Beyonce or Taylor Swift?
Oh, no, I saw this one. That's the one that looks like, she looks more like Dee from Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
It doesn't even remotely resemble Beyonce. This is one of the worst I think I've ever seen in my life. But they win the award there for all the folks who did this. Not the folks at Madame Tussauds, or however you say that, because they got some damn good ones over there. You said you went to the Orlando Eye the other day. Did you go into the wax figure thing?
I didn't go into Madame Tussauds because we were like one of the last ones on the Eye, so everything else was kind of closing up. But there was Michael Jackson stands right outside the gift shop of Madame Tussauds, so we took a... like a selfie with that.
Man, when I go in there, it's a mind F for me. I look around and I don't know what's real, what's fake.
I've seen some cool pictures of the Jimmy Fallon one where he looks like he's sitting at his desk and stuff like that. I think that looks pretty cool.
Some of them are just so real. And then there was a guy one time who was in there walking around with us. And it's hard to decipher who's a person and who's one of the wax figures. They're that good, some of these. I mean, some of them are not as good, but most of them are damn good. And there was a guy who was very closely inspecting the wax figure of some basketball player, and I went up next to him and started kind of looking at him before I realized, no, this guy's real. He's just another human walking around for me. But this Beyonce one, I wouldn't even have known who it was if it didn't have a damn name tag on her shirt.
Maybe that's why the name tag's on her shirt. Maybe they know it's that bad.
Yeah, the idea is if you have to have a name tag, you didn't do a good enough job with the likeness. Let's go to some dispatches. Here's a very first one from Coulter Anderson.
Yo, what up, junkies? This is Coulter, first-time dispatcher. Figured out with all this school shooting stuff going on, I'd try and bring some positivity. One of my friends, Jocelyn Lamoureux, who plays for the women's national hockey teams, set an Olympic record by scoring 2 goals in 6 seconds.
Nice.
Pretty quick. Most people can't even stand on skates for 6 seconds.
I can.
All right, peace.
All right, thank you very much. Let's go over to these dispatches aren't all queued up, C-Lane, so you're not going to... Might find that the volume is all over creation.
That's fine.
A lot going on today. Here's Brian.
Hey, about the school shooter's parents. I heard on the news this morning that apparently he was adopted.
Yeah.
And it was his adoptive father that died really young when he was at a really young age.
Yeah, you know what? There's actually an FBI press conference right now where they're talking about some of the warnings and some of the other stuff about this guy's family. Let's listen to that if we can. I think they were just going to a clip. There's a press conference coming any minute now. And when that happens, I think they might address this exact point, Brian, and some of the other stuff about missed opportunities. So we'll listen into that when it happens. Back to Brian.
And I guess it messed him up at that time. And then they said that his mother, his adoptive mother, actually just died a few months ago.
Right.
From the flu.
Oh, God.
So somebody should have been noticing what was wrong with this kid or what was going on with him, because he obviously has some mental issues.
Of course.
And was going through some hard things. Anyways, just thought I'd let you know. All right.
Thank you, Brian. Yeah, this is what I was talking about earlier. I said this Parkland school massacre was the most preventable school shooting in the history of this country. All the information was there. The FBI was warned. The teachers were warned. Everybody knew that he shouldn't be at that school to the point where he got kicked out of that school. Even when he was there, they wouldn't let him walk around with a backpack because they were scared he was going to have weapons in there and hurt some of the students. He was telling people, I'm going to shoot up the school. Every piece of information was there. It wasn't like, hey, there was a couple of alarm bells going off. No, all the bells in all the places were all ringing as loudly as they can. But the fact is, even with that trail of breadcrumbs, we still didn't stop it.
Mm-hmm.
It still didn't get stopped. So why? And maybe they address this at this press conference when they get to that point. Here is Dad Joke.
About the daylight savings time, there's like a ton of science that shows every time the clock shift, there's an increase in mental breaks and heart attacks and all kinds of other stuff.
That's not good.
So doing away with that time shift makes it so we don't have to screw up our sleep rhythm, makes us healthier people in the long run.
Whee! Right, what do you think you would get out of that? If you just said, hey, who, raise your hands, do you want to end daylight savings time and just have more sunlight for all of the year? I don't think many people would go, no, I really like daylight savings time. When's the last time you heard somebody go, oh my God, besides you, C-Lane, all of a sudden you're excited about
daylight saving time is when you have later daylight.
No, but I mean the idea of getting rid of the back and forth.
Right.
Just keeping it always so you have more daylight and staying on that time and done with this spring forward, fall back stuff.
I mean, I'm okay with it. I'm not saying I would hem and haw over the idea of not changing it anymore. I just, sometimes the variety's fun. But I do enjoy it being darker in the morning. Like if I have to wake up really early for something, then I go, well, you know, I like it to be dark because then it feels, I don't know, there's something that feels good in me. I'd rather
have the light at the end of the day. And I feel like most people would go, yeah, that's what I want. I don't want to bother with this stuff. Let's just keep it lighter longer and stop flipping back and forth.
Like if I have to catch a 6 o'clock flight, that means I got to get up, you know, around like 4 or something like that.
Don't schedule a 6 o'clock flight. Why was anybody doing that to begin with? You schedule your flights for later in the day. For God's sake, when are we flying today?
Oh, buddy.
Oh, no. Is there news about that? Oh, no.
Last I heard, the 203 still on the ground, LOL, our plane wouldn't start.
Oh, my God. Don't tell me that right now. The plane wouldn't start? I'm scared of flying. Oh, my God.
Hey, if you're scared of flying, the plane not starting is probably the best thing for you.
No, the plane not starting. I'm okay when Uncle Buck's truck won't turn over. And he needs a jump or something. Well, when that thing is what's keeping us in the air flying around and it won't start, that's a little frightening. That's a little bit scary for me. Let's just continue. I got to put this out of my mind.
I'm going to have a lot of liquor in my pockets.
I'm going to need that.
All right.
All of it. Here is AL.
Hey, Sean. I just want to say, with all this stuff about the mass shootings and stuff, unfortunately, there's a lot of the time you just can't.
Whisper.
Stop it. It's just part of the society we live in. It's the grim reality we live in with all the weapons and everything that we have in the technology. I don't know, unless we lock schools
like
down exactly like prisons and have guards and checkpoints and stuff, I just don't see an easy way to stop things like this.
Of course. But there's a lot of other countries that don't have this problem and do have a really significant amount of weapons. So this is just something that needs to be looked into. Everybody needs to leave their politics at the door. Everybody needs to stop with the nutty responses to it. Like, people should be, like, I think people should be reasonable about addressing what everybody agrees is a bad problem. The problem is we go into it with some people saying the NRA has blood on their hands, take all the guns. And the people on the other side go, for my cold dead hands, I'll always defend the NRA. And then everybody, who is basically the majority of the population, goes, what the hell is happening here? We're being hijacked by lunatics. And that's true with so many things in politics in America right now. That is true with so many different things that happen in this country. I just wish for a second, because they're piled up dead kids because we're not doing anything, we could sit there and go, all right, mental health, where can we work this out? All right, access to weapons, where can we work and make a little progress in the right direction? Where people don't feel like they're going to have their guns ripped from their hands and other people think that we're getting at least some iota of security and safety out of it. Here is Jersey Boy.
Hey, good afternoon, News Junkies.
That's everybody whispering.
Sean, I need your expertise in the field of ranting. Have you ever heard of the restaurant, The Pharmacy? I think it's out in the Phillips area.
Oh, it's good.
Overheard a couple coworkers talking about it the other day, and they said it was really good, but, you know, for these big decisions, I like to come to the one with all the knowledge on the local restaurants and eateries. I'm thinking of taking my wife there for our anniversary next month, and just kind of wanted your opinion if you've ever heard of it. And if so, what did you think?
All right. Thank you, Jersey Boy. Appreciate it. Everybody's whispering today. Let's finish it off with, let's get a little bit of power behind those. Great. Now I'm going to have people screaming in the dispatches for the rest of the show.
Sean!
That's what's going to happen.
Wiggle, wiggle, pop, pop!
Have you been to the pharmacy, C-Lane?
I have not yet.
It's great. It's really, really weird because you've been there. Radio Michael Seven's hanging out. The pharmacy actually is down this weird hallway, and then you go through like an elevator that opens up that you didn't even know was a door to begin with.
Right. I have an idea of where it is.
It's cool. It's got a lot of character to it. And it's kind of like a speakeasy type place. Real good food. They change up the menu quite a bit, I think. It's great. Yeah, it's tough to get a seat in there sometimes.
I heard good stuff about the food. And then I think one of our guys at Fox 35 did like a thing down there. Mm-hmm. It was super dark.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a cool spot, but I'll tell you, either go early or go late. Because if you go right in the busy times, it's pretty tough to get a table there. It's not the largest of restaurants in town, but it's got a lot of cool stuff about it. Got a lot of great food options, very good drinks. They make some of the best damn Moscow mules you ever have there. So I say thumbs up, try it out. Do your ranting there. I like people getting around and trying these places. We'll see if this plane is still flying or if that's a thing.
I've heard engines on.
Yeah, all right.
You're in.
All right. Hopefully that works out well. Back in a moment with a first time this has ever happened in the world. And what it was is what will be revealed next. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
The show that takes you from Skywall Summer to Jack Rocket Fall, whatever that means. This is the News Junkie.
Coming across the details of the Stoneman Douglas High School shooter, and he bought his AR-15 style weapon and passed the background check, passed the check for that. They're saying as they get ready for this news conference in the next couple of minutes, I believe. I'm not sure exactly what the timing on that's going to be, but we'll listen in for any new details or updates when that comes around. In the meantime, I'm starting to think twice about this whole Bahamas thing.
No, it'll be fine.
I might get myself a jet ski and just ride over there or
something. That would take a long time.
At least I'll be safe. Loveless is definitely not listening, right? Our pilot who's bringing us over there?
I don't know that.
They took off now, I guess. What kind of pilot turns around and goes, hey, you guys got money for gas? What kind of pilot? The pilot turns around, hey, you guys got some gas money? Loveless, what's going on, man? Yeah, you're never going to be on a Southwest flight, and the pilot comes down the center of the aisle and goes, hey, folks, anybody want to chip in?
This is your pilot, Captain Lane speaking. Wanted to know if you could chip in somebody for fuel.
Pass around a hat and get some cash and make some money. C-Lane was looking to follow the flight on Flight Tracker so we could figure out when we should be at the airport, and he goes, I don't see it. I can't track the plane for some reason.
And then I get a text from my girlfriend. We're still on the ground.
So sitting there in this tiny little mosquito plane with old Loveless, who's asking for cash to move around a little bit, and a plane that won't oh, God. Oh, man. I'm starting to worry about this a little bit. I think we'll be okay. I think everybody will be fine, but I think I may need to go home and make sure I got everything ready with Muffin Lady. She'll just tell me what to do. You go, put this and this and this. All right, done, ready to go. Passport's ready. And then I'm just going to say, baby, I love you, but I'll see you on the other side, and pound a whole bottle of something. And then you guys can stretcher me into the plane.
We can, I mean, they said there's free parking at the airport.
Right.
But.
Right. We could do a little drinking in the parking lot.
No.
If Loveless looks back and goes, you guys got any extra for me? I'm going to lose my mind.
No, we can full-on Lara Flynn boil it right there at Orlando Executive.
Oh, God.
Bring on the Johnny Red. We got problems.
How does this happen? Well, folks, tune in Monday to either hear us live from the Bahamas or find out that we died.
Or the Radio Michael 7 show will debut.
It'll be kicking off right here on Monday at 11 o'clock, so don't miss a second of it. the world first I was mentioning, C-Lane. This is the first time this has ever happened, and this is going to be a little complicated, so follow me. A transgender woman, meaning somebody biologically born a man living life as a woman, a transgender woman has become the first recorded to successfully breastfeed her baby, the Washington Post is reporting. And it was in a publication called Transgender Health. There's a lot of weird medical journals that not a lot of people read, but this is one of them. The 30-year-old said she decided to breastfeed her then unborn baby. Her partner was pregnant with a baby, but didn't plan on breastfeeding. So according to the study, this person, biologically born a man, underwent a 3.5-month treatment that included a drug to stimulate lactation. So remember, these are like male breasts that are producing this milk. The patient had not yet undergone gender reassignment surgery, the report said. The patient was given additional supplements to increase lactation and told to use a breast pump. After a month of treatment, the patient was producing droplets of milk. After 3 months, the patient was producing 8 ounces of milk a day. So a transgender woman able to breastfeed a baby, and they said the baby was fine and healthy otherwise, and it's a breakthrough, they say, but they need to explore the issue a bit more. Hey, let's talk to Billy. Go ahead, Billy.
Hey, well, you don't want to say your parents did a break something the parents of kids who got shot.
Yeah, it's a terrible thing, huh?
Yes, it is, yeah. Okay. Because, my nephew is fighting in Orlando the 17th.
Oh, he's fighting? What do you mean, like a MMA?
No, boxing.
Oh, yeah? He's fighting. And now you could...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Are you going to go watch him, Billy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so...
Oh, yeah.
What's your nephew's name?
Robbie Burwell.
Robbie Burwell, he's going to be boxing out there?
Yeah, yeah. His 10th post fight.
10th fight. Are you going to put any money on him? You're a betting man, Billy?
No, I don't want to tell you his record. His record is 7-2.
7-2. All right, that's not bad at all.
No, he's pretty good. He's real good.
Who's the guy he's fighting? Do you know that?
No, we got to look on his website.
Yeah.
Robbie Burwell.
I'll put $10. $10 on the other guy, Billy. You take my bet? You believe in your nephew, right?
No, yeah. I put $10 on Robbie.
You put $10 on your nephew?
Yeah.
All right, you're on. $10, the biggest fight of the year.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah.
And I got the other guy. You got Robbie. I got the other guy.
Okay.
All right. Well, I mean, isn't that, that's your nephew, Robbie, right?
Yeah.
All right, that's who you want to bet the money on, right?
Yeah, he's going to be fighting in, he'll be fighting in Fern Park.
All right, when does this happen?
June's
a while.
February 17th.
February 17th? Oh, that's just 2 days. Okay.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Well, we'll catch back up with you next week, Billy, and tell me who the winner was. And if I owe you $10, I'll get it to you.
Okay, cool. All right, call.
And there he goes. Thank you, Billy.
That
was my favorite moment. Why was Billy screaming for that?
Don't remember. I don't remember why we got him to do that. I just know that I have it.
So many things happen on this show where you go, that's a weird moment. How did that happen?
I don't know. Where did this? I don't know. It's creepy as hell. I don't know where it came from.
Quickly before the break, the head of the EPA, that's the Environmental Protection Agency, has finally broken his silence about why he is always flying first class on the taxpayer dollar. Now, to fly first class, very, very expensive. It's not a cheap thing. You ever go to book your tickets and look at the cost for first class? It's not worth it. But the taxpayers are paying for EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt to fly that way. And here's what he's having to say about why this is the case.
We'd be remiss if we didn't address some of the national headlines you're facing right now in terms of travel. The Washington Post reporting that in your tenure, you've often flown first class or business class as opposed to flying coach. Why is it important to you to fly first class versus coach, as federal rules would have you do to say?
Well, it's not a matter of important or not. It's a matter of assessment by those that make those decisions. We actually have a security detail along with others that assess issues that arise in travel. And there have been instances, unfortunately, during during my time as administrator, as I've flown and I've spent time of interaction that's not been the best. And so ingress and egress off the plane, the security aspect, those are decisions all made by our detail team, by the chief of staff. By the-
so he said there's been incidents on planes. He has to fly first class. That's his response to the criticism. Hey, let's go to this press conference in Parkland, Florida, Sheila, and talking about the school massacre and to see what they have to say.
Just to give you a little insight as to what happened in my day is that I was at the police department headquarters in Coconut Creek when the call came out. I decided to come over and help in any way that I could. When I arrived to the area, there was a heavy presence of officers, emergency personnel, and I decided to expand my search for this individual that was still on the loose. We'd been given information via the radio as to what he had been wearing. This information was provided through the radio dispatch. I decided to travel in some of the area, residential areas located near the school. And as I traveled down one of the back roads, it's a heavily residential area, I happened to come across, it was just myself. There was not a lot of people out, a couple of people walking their dogs in the area. As I continued down this roadway, I discovered an individual walking on the sidewalk that was wearing the clothing description that had been given over the radio. He looked like a typical high school student, and for a quick moment, I thought, could this be the person? Is this who I need to stop? Training kicked in. I pulled my vehicle over immediately, engaged the suspect. He complied with my commands and was taken into custody without any issues.
Did he have his weapon with him?
I can't comment on that. This is an investigation still ongoing. I'd just like to take this time right now to...
Why can't they answer simple stuff like that?
Express my gratitude. Yeah.
Did he have a weapon or not?
And sisters in law enforcement, emergency services that have put all their heart and soul into this. This is what we train for. We hope this never happens. But I just want to thank them. I want to thank them for all their services and everything that they do. And my condolences to the family that have loved ones that have been lost.
He's nervous.
Thank you for your time.
Hi, my name is Frank Babinick, last name spelled B-A-B-I-N-E-C. I'm the fire chief for the Coral Springs Parkland Fire Department. Before I start off with how this went for us yesterday, I'd like to tell all the residents of Parkland and Coral Springs that, from all the men and women of our department, that we are very sorry for what they're going through. Our firefighters share in their grief. They feel for them, they feel with them. We are part of the community and we are here to protect them during the event and we will be here to protect them after the event. Yesterday, just before 2:30 p.m., we received a call for a possible active shooter event at Stoneman Douglas High School. As we started our response, we really weren't sure if this was a real event or not. We get calls like this once in a while, and they turn out to be non-real calls, which is a good thing. But as we began to respond, we got non-real. More and more information that
not fake.
Made this mm-hmm. more and more real for us.
This Myself, is the chief of the Coral Springs Fire Department.
And fire personnel were responding to the scene. As we got to the scene, we had to set up an appropriate command post and triage area to deal with the amount of possible patients that we were going to have. As we approached the scene and got set up, we got some information that there may be patients on the west side of the building. So I went around to investigate that, where we did locate one victim and removed them from that area. And I returned to the command post. I can tell you that all the first responders train for events like this. We hope we never have to use it. We hope we never have to use that training. This is a horrible event. But I'm very, very proud of all of the firefighter paramedics, all the first responders, the ER folks, everybody that treated these patients did it with such a high level of professionalism and readiness that I cannot say enough about.
We stopped showing photos and videos of kids running for their lives.
Thank you guys for allowing this opportunity. And our firefighters can never, our first responders can never
That's the chief of the fire department there talking about his involvement in this. I didn't hear anything too new out of that. There are details everywhere, so it's sort of about spinning this into the full story, which will happen soon. They just keep running over and over and over. The footage of these poor kids with their hands on their heads are bolting through the parking lot. All of them obviously very, very scared in what they're doing. I think we could put that footage away for now. There's plenty of other stuff to show and talk about, and more details will be released as the day rolls on and into the weekend, of course. When we come back, though, final dispatches, stories that didn't make the cut, and today I learned to wrap everything up for a Thursday. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
It's just like being in a studio with us, almost.
What's the problem? It's like you've never been in a tight space with someone whipping
through. Facebook.com/RealRadio1041. Brought to you by Seacoast Bank. See why local is better by visiting SeacoastBank.com. Better. Documenting and contributing to the decline in American culture. This is the News Junkie.
Final dispatches, stories that didn't make the cut, and today I learned to wrap everything up for a Thursday, which has flown by. Make sure you're, flown.
For some of us.
Oh, God. learning that, I guess the plane just took off with Sabrina.
They're in the air. This the flight tracker app is cool as hell, because I could just, we have the same plane all weekend.
Yeah.
Living that private plane life.
Sounds fancy.
But sometimes it sounds fancy.
Here's the problem. We're supposed to fly out and go into customs, which is only staying open so late for us. And you got to pay for them to stay open late.
Might have to bring some grease money.
It's already. You know how much it is to have them stay open?
How much?
I don't know what we should say. It's a lot. It's a lot of money to have the customs people stay open. And I think they're only supposed to stay open until 5 p.m.
Blink if it's more than $100.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's keep going, buddy. Yeah. That much.
What?
That's how much it costs. That's how much it costs to keep it open for an hour or whatever it is. And we were paying that for 5 o'clock. I don't know if we're ever going to get there. We might have to go tomorrow or something. I don't know what's happening. So, all right, we'll figure that out. You'll hear all about the stories of what happened on either secret shows or, of course, on our show on Monday if that comes through. Otherwise, we'll be back live doing things. The Red Sox say they're concerned. They're very, very concerned with the state of Boston radio station WEEI.
I'll bet.
Which broadcasts the team's games. Man, all of the things that are happening there are not good for them right now. They pissed off the Patriots. Now the Red Sox are upset. Somebody has gotten suspended. They all had to do sensitivity training. Things aren't going well. And they say nothing is more important to WEEI than the close-knit, diverse Boston community we call home. Blah, 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 blah. But the Boston Red Sox said they are worried about and fed up with the controversial incidents at the station. We have a growing level of concern, and we've expressed it very clearly to their management, especially over the past year and the past week and the past few days. They need to calm it down over there. Let us do the really edgy, controversial accents over here, so we get in trouble. Here's that guy.
What up, News Junkie crew? Looking forward to hearing you guys broadcast from the Bahamas. When you're down there, keep an eye out for a bottle of rum called Jack Malintan.
Everybody wants
rum. When I tried it, it made my heart palpitate, and we pretty much let fire to a bunch of stuff. Good times were had by all.
Everybody wants liquor. I'm getting texts.
Who was the one that we were supposed to find?
A Causey Wolfpack, the guy with like 10 kids now, I think. He texted me, and he said, oh, God, what did he want me to pick him up? And he's like, I'll pay you if you bring this back. The only place you can find it is the Bahamas. Oh, Pure White Hennessy.
All right.
All right, that's the good stuff,
how
man.
How much is a bottle of white? Around $100.
Is it really? That's the good stuff.
That said, I've seen the Smashing Pumpkins play several times. In 96, Darcy Rutsky was in the band, and everybody knows the touring keyboardist died, and drugs were a huge problem. In 98, she was out of the band, and Melissa Auf-Demar took over as the bass player for 2000-2001. That was the Machina, Machines of God tour, and the Resume the Pose tour.
Man, big fan.
And to be honest with you, the band sounded much tighter. I don't like the way Flood changed their sound.
Tell me about
But what I'm really interested in seeing is James Iha and Billy Corgan playing together again, because that's the heart and soul of the band. That's the sound you want to hear, because the way those two bounce back heart off of each other, soul. It's great. Bonus points if when they cut the new album they get producer Butch Vig involved somewhere, because then you'll get the history. Anyway, wiggle wiggle, pop pop.
That guy is a big Smashing Pumpkins fan.
Of course he is.
All the way. Here's Chuck Bo Buck with a dispatch.
Hey Sean, I'm gonna make sure I'm not whispering, okay?
I'm not whispering.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I just read that Stormy Daniels has her own Lewinsky dress.
I saw that.
That she's gonna trot out for DNA sampling. If you know what I mean.
I do know what you mean.
What?
Yeah, they said that Stormy Daniels, who says she may be able to speak about whatever happened between her and the President of the United States, she says she's got a Lewinsky-style dress. I think you know what that means. That means that somebody, there was some number three on the dress.
Yes.
And then that might be something that they use. I don't know what's true. I'm just telling you what's out there. Here's Bring Me a Beer.
What up, fellas? Hey, about bringing drinks on a plane. Might want to be careful with that. I was on a plane not too long ago, and I ordered a regular Diet Coke because I had rum in my pocket. And the stewardess came up to me and said that if I had liquor and I was consuming it, the stuff that I brought, that it would be a felony.
No.
I would be put in handcuffs. So just be careful.
No, you did this. I mean, I've heard somebody do this.
I've absolutely done this.
Yeah, you're allowed to, right?
You're not allowed. You're not supposed to.
But you're not going to go to jail for it.
I don't think so. Mm. I don't know. If they wanted to throw the book at you, maybe. But the particular plane that we're going on doesn't have stewardesses.
All right.
Or handcuffs.
Okay.
I think we're going to be just fine.
Yeah, we'll be good to go if that's the case. One more. Here's Sir Barnacles.
I am from the future.
How is it, though?
And I like chicken. Because they're finger licking good.
Even in the future. It's a perfect pick for a last dispatch. Just absolute 95%er through and through, Sir Barnacles. Actually, every once in a while, he's got something good. So thank you. Let's do Today I Learned.
The following information may make you feel smarter, but will not actually increase your IQ. So don't get cocky. Now it's time for what we call Today I Learned.
It is Today I Learned for a Thursday, February 15, 2018. Seven stories from around the web and around the world and all that good stuff. Credit goes to Reddit.com and the Today I Learned section. Oh, yeah, I forgot about the score. By the way, the attorney for this shooting suspect says he is on a suicide watch right now. So there's that for you. Let me go to the scorekeeper. And we've got Sabrina with 56, C-Lane with 54. If Sabrina can answer from the flight, then she's good to go. Otherwise, C-Lane, here we are. Today I Learned this show right here.
Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Yes, that is correct. Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. I think she once famously called it Mr. Neighbors Rogers.
She did.
And Mr. Rogers once explained what assassination meant on his television show, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Have you heard about assassination, neighbors? I have.
This was after the Martin Luther King and, of course, RFK shootings or assassinations. And there was a whole thing that played out where he told the kids about what assassinations were all about.
It's not a very beautiful day in the neighborhood.
It's not, I guess. Today, I learned there's a thing called granny dumping. That's when you abandon old relatives in public places. It occurs more often before Christmas and long weekends. And it's a funny term, but that's when, like, somebody has some medical problems, you just drop them off because you can't take care of them. Here's a hard one. Today I learned this character.
Oh.
Here I am. I am all by myself.
The Lone Ranger.
Lone Ranger is correct.
I didn't know if that was going to work.
It was good. I liked it.
The best I could with what I had there.
Today I almost said William Tell.
Today I learned the real Lone Ranger was an African-American lawman who lived with Native American Indians. Once again, whitewashing. They got rid of that in the story that we all know and love. But the real Lone Ranger, he was a black dude out there doing his thing before anybody else. His name was Bass Reeves, if you want to look into him. Today I learned open office plans are bad for business. Workers, when they just have seats all around and no actual offices, are 15% less productive. They have trouble concentrating, and they're twice as likely to get sick. So don't do that. Get some walls and some doors, for God's sake. That's what people actually want in this mix of life that we're living in. And God knows that today I learned this show. I am angry.
Mad Men.
Mad Men is correct, man. The clues are really working for you today. Today I learned John Hamm of Mad Men fame was suspended from his alma mater, the University of Texas. This for putting a student's testicles in a claw hammer and leading him around a house while the student was beaten, paddled, and set on fire.
All right.
Some of those things are allegedly stuff you're not supposed to do, I guess. But he did it anyway. After graduation during 1989, John Hamm enrolled at the University of Texas. He was a member of the Upsilon chapter of Sigma Nu. There, Hamm was arrested for participating in a violent hazing incident. Happened in November of 1990. Mark Sanders was beaten with a paddle and a broom by other frat members while Hamm was leading him with a hammer claw around his testicles in the frat house. Sanders' clothes were also set afire. The incident resulted in the frat being shut down on campus. Hamm made a plea deal and completed probation under the terms of a deferred adjudication. The charges were dismissed in 1995. Not supposed to do that, John Hamm. Good God, get your life together, please. Today I learned the flag that was on Apollo 11, C-Lane. The astronauts pinned that sucker on the moon, and they bought it beforehand at Sears. I figured they had like a special place where they'd get the moon flags. Not so much.
Well, I thought the moon flags have rods inside them to keep it extended out.
But the flag itself was a $5.50 flag that they bought at Sears. A little bonus for you, I guess, if you could see it now, they're just completely bleached white from the sun, because obviously there's a lot of contact there.
Right.
And there's no more stars, no more stripes, no more stars, just white on the flag. And finally, today I learned this guy right here. Leave you
one more time. John Denver?
John Denver is correct. You didn't even need my great clue, which was going to be, I'm from Denver. I figured I would work it out. Today I learned John Denver, the writer of this song, Leaving on a Jet Plane, which is what we're going to do very shortly, died in a plane crash.
Come on, man. That is such bad juju.
We'll just leave it with that. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you soon. Stay put. The Phil's Files coming up next, filed by...
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I'm followed sorry, by A Corporate Friday. Time with Tom and Dan, all right here on Real Radio. Hold me like you'll never let me go. Cause I believe in on a jet plane.